should have talked to me more often than you did. But no, you had to go your own way. Have you broken any homes up lately? Just 5 minutes worm, Your Honor. He'll be alone.
Jonesy.
Hey, man. Like my mommy used to say, don't get your woody calls in an uproar. That was The Wall by Pink Floyd. And the cut before that was from Roger Waters Live. So it wasn't all one cut or anything like that. Although at this stage in life, I'm sure my mix wasn't anywhere near good enough to make you think that. Jonesy. Here are the Beach Boys. WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope. And here are the Beach Boys with Hang On to Your Ego from Pet Sounds.
They isolate their heads and stay in their safe.
Okay, I'm having my first hallucination. It's the Beach Boys. And hang on to your ego. This is Elton John, Pinball Wizard. Thank you. Elton John's Pinball Wizard. Jonesy here. And it's now after 9 p.m. So let's see.
That's our test tone. Unless you
want to
try the intercom, see if it works.
That would mean, yeah, I thought Bruce was here. 24:48. 60 hours and 10 minutes. 60 hours and 10 minutes going for the record in the morning. Right? You're going to be there. You're going to be there. Mark and Jen are camping out in the back. How about that? I think... I think I'm going to read some emails. And what the hell? Go for it, Jonesy. We're with you all the way. Glenn, now that you have captured the attention of the whole world, you must come up with the proper quote when you break the record. Something along the lines of Neil Armstrong's quote that will live forever, or at least enough to make headlines or get you invited to the White House. I propose something like, thank God for America, where every man can try to live his dream, or dopey as it may be. Or how about, I came, I saw, I played rock and roll. And don't forget to pay tribute to the veterans who died for our freedom of speech, including the freedom to rock. Also, what songs will you play to celebrate the record? Shouldn't it be something from Jersey? How about I Don't Want to Go Home? Or the Jukes version of Having a Party. Well, the Jukes version of Having a Party is too long. He is playing there now? Bruce Springsteen is live on stage at the Stone Pony right at this moment, for those of you who can get there. And we have that on official record. Any luck?
I've left messages to Dominic and the Stone Pony on Dominic's machine.
Right.
And his cell phone.
Now, if you're truly IBJ to the core, or if you've really been affected by this broadcast, as so many people have said they are, then you should race down to the Stone Pony and just stand at the door. Wait for Bruce to leave with a cell phone in your hand. Walk up to Springsteen and say, this cat loves you. He's Jersey through and through. His arteries are a map of the Garden State Parkway. And he just wants to be on the air for, he wants you on the air for a minute. 1 minute with Bruce is all I want. And you can drive there with your little cell phone and make it happen. Mr. Jones, only you can bring the record back to the USA. Way to go. Let's hear the ballad of Glenn Jones and X-Ray Burns. It will pump everybody up. Mr. Jones, smash that record. You are the only one who can bring the record back to the USA. Way to go. Let's hear the ballad. That's the same damn mill. Hi, Glenn. I just spent some time on the internet and didn't find any information about record length internet radio broadcasts. So, as far as I'm concerned, you have the world record for internet radio broadcast. You are already a winner. Hope you make it for the real thing. I'm still listening. Yap from Amsterdam. Thanks, Yap. I'm making it. Jonesy, you look great. I once worked at a Hall & Oates music video where I stayed up for 42 hours straight. Others on drugs stayed up for up to 55 hours. I have kept the radio on FM for most of the last 2 days and will continue until 11 a.m. Monday in support of your quest. Good luck, Jonesy. Kill 'em all. Yo! Mark and Jen are camping out back. They came to the rally today. And they left, and they got a tent, and they're camping out back as we speak. So there was a Jones stock going on in the backyard for those of you who care. I'm gonna see if I can find some more recent email. Here we go.
Oh, okay. Let me write it down for you.
Go for it, man. It's Sunday at 8:20 p.m. One more night to go. I'm in Westchester County. Read about you in the New York Post. I'm listening on the internet. Good luck. Illuminati here. You can do it. 100 hours. No, 1,000 hours. Nah, 100 hours, baby. You want to make this record and hold it. You can do it. I'm going to do it, Lou. Jonesy, now comes the time when heroes are made. Now when you are weary and doubt your own strength and resolve is the time when you must take the love and power that you, your devoted Jonesaholics offer you. The IBJ supports you and gives to you their strength and courage. We believe in you. Jones, be our hero. Jonesy, you are doing it. I just called my trainer and canceled my gym workout tomorrow morning after listening since the beginning. Must admit, I go to bed, actually feel a little guilty when the bed feels so good. I had to be here tomorrow for the moment. Even though I now know that you're going to keep going. It's been terrific listening to the music and fun watching Ken give you a sponge bath. Love the feet act. Hearing the young crowd in the parking lot was great. Anyway, I'm going to bed. See you in the morning. I'm thrilled for you and WFMU spurring you on. Wendy. Glenn, when you played Johnny Thunders, it set off memories of what was truly one of the best shows I ever saw. Johnny Thunders' Wayne Kramer Band at the Fast Lane in beautiful Asbury Park around 1980 or so. Then you followed it with MC5. Funny thing. Keep the airwaves going. Jones, this is not a stunt, as I have heard some people call it. It is a great achievement in the making. An achievement for you and for WFMU. You are the beacon that shines for the greatest station in the nation. Good luck, Mark. Jonesy, I listen to your show every weekend without fail. My wife is originally from Spanish Harlem. She claims she knows at least 25 Spanish Johnnies and doesn't understand your show, but knows enough to leave me alone when you're on. She knows I enjoy it and is surprised when you play some Bee Gees hustle music. They don't always play bad music, she said. I made it a point to tell her that you were Jersey guys and that maybe we should look at a Jersey at some point as a place to live. I was born and bred in Jersey and pleased to report I will be moving my new family from Brooklyn to Jersey at the end of next week. Not because of your show, but your show helped the wife know where I needed to get back to. Exit 114. Don't focus on the time, but the sentiment from us out here in the Netherlands. The wife and I just opened a large bottle of wine, committed to stay up as long as we can, getting up as early as needed to get the record in the books. Spanish, Susie, and Jay. Marathon, schmarathon. I got Wolfman doing his nightly Don Kirshner rock concert over here. I went to your big rally today. You clocked me in the head with one of your CDs, and I banged my knee skidding for a set of coasters. You, sir, owe me a new brain and a knee. You have all my respect and deep love. If you die, can I have your apartment? That's the general who's cat-sitting for me as we speak. Hello to the Wolfman. My little Wolfman cat doing this for you, Wolfman. Thanks, General. I think I did it. I know I did it, General. Make sure you watch tomorrow. Hey, Jonesy, I'm not one to wish one luck. I'd rather send my well wishes and positive vibes and faith that this good universe will you keep you and all of us joining you on your journey into radio eternity, and hope everyone out there takes note of this wonderful feat, for it shows what the human spirit can do. And when put to the test, it's all about the soul, Jonesy. It's all about soul. For God's sakes, man, it's not past your bedtime when it comes. Sweet dreams, Court. I think to end this whole thing, when you're ready for sleep, play some American Pie and press the repeat button till you return again. Well, if I play American Pie, I get disqualified. This is over 6 minutes. The Impossible Dream. I just want you to know that whether you break the record or not, and it definitely looks like you will, this stunt will go down as one of my all-time favorite broadcast memories, thanks to you and WFMU for restoring my faith in the potential of radio. Jim, an internet listener from South Carolina, I attached a couple of screenshots so you can do a before and after comparison of your mental and physical states. And I have a printout, so I can't really make out the after shot. Oh, I'm in a robe with my big belly sticking out. That would be me. You know, I could probably stay on for 175 hours if we save all these, and it's my final act. I just start reading them all. Jones, ask listeners to email questions, interview of the man by the people. think of it. Here are my questions. What was your first album? Album. Wow. Elvis Presley's Burning Love. What was your first job? Okay. Cab driver. Harrison Cab. What was your first 45? Time Is On My Side or The Beatles' I Feel Fine. Both of them were my brothers or sisters, and I pretended they were mine. I think the first one I actually owned was on the box, back of a cereal box. It was ABC by the Jackson 5. And the first one I actually bought, well, there was a bunch of them that was bought for me, about five or six of them, when they got one of those little closing turntables, you know, it's like portables, you carry them around. And it was a package of a bunch of them, and one of them was Rod Stewart's Maggie May. The other was Gilbert O'Sullivan, which, funny thing, I can't think of the name of the song because I have brain lesions, but the big hit, the one about I remember I cried when my daddy died, never wishing to dry the tears. My mother, 65 years old, God bless her soul and all that. Ironically, the funny thing is I play that all the time on my regular show. And Vince Gelsa, who will be our guest at 10 p.m. here in the studios, he actually was talking on the air once about how he really likes my show and all that, but he just couldn't understand why I always play that song. And I never thought about it. I just thought I like it because I play a lot of weird songs. But I guess that's the reason. It was one of my first 45s. What was the name of the first girl you dated? Dated or, well, I guess it would be Debbie. And although I didn't consider myself to be dating her, but in the biblical sense, I certainly was. Dear Jonesy, you play the best music list on any radio station. Hope you are feeling well now that Sunday evening is upon you. All my friends, including myself, have total confidence in you that you will break the record. My little cousin let me use his computer so I can correspond with you today. Enjoy the hallucinations. They are fun when you are straight. Love to you, Grazia. Jones, I'd like to warn you about a vast right-wing conspiracy that is trying to bring you down and stop you from breaking the record. A certain conservative talk show is behind the plot. They brought down Vince Foster. They can do it to you. Watch your back. I got news for you. That guy you're talking about might be one of my guests. Okay, I guess you probably got 100 emails with the same subject line. You roll, Jonesy. But let me differentiate. I'm having trouble speaking mostly because I don't know how much it has to do with the sleep deprivation. It seems to have something to do with something rubbing against the back of my tongue. Like, who the hell knows how it started. Anyway, bear with me on that. I guess that's part of the joy of listening to such a program. Remember when I was screaming when we first started on Friday at 9 a.m.?
Whoa! Len Jones radio program. Wow, baby. Wow, big daddy-o. Woo.
Yeah, that was me, man. And then I got those emails that said, like, how come you're so quiet? You must miss X-Ray because you're very quiet and sedate. Well, that's how you make it this far. Anyway, this guy says he's an IBJ member from way, way, way back, and he's really happy to see it all coming together. I was honestly surprised to see you get it all together as well as you have. I expected you to come in shooting your load the first 5 hours. Oh, good. This guy understood. But after the first hour, I realized, hey, Jonesy is serious. Forgive me forever doubting you. You effing rule, Jonesy. And not only that, you've tipped your cap along the way to the DJs you've taken the time from. It was heartwarming to hear you play Laura Cantrell during the Radio Thrift Shop Hour, reggae during Jeff Sarge Hour, real rock and roll during Bill Kelly's slot. You've brought much honor to your fellow DJs along the way, and I have a massive respect for that. I am an FMU listener donor as well, as besides that, I am a radio lover. It's only right that someone that loves and honors radio the way you do is killing off his record like you are. Congratulations in advance. Today's Joe Franklin interview almost brought me to tears. Really? Wow. I don't remember saying much that would bring anyone to tears, but I appreciate anyone who wants to cry. Please do. Anyway, hang in there and realize that you've got so many effing wonderful degenerates pulling for you, including me. I'm hanging in there. There's no worry here. Fox programming has been preempted. They're showing NASCAR until 10 p.m., so Glenn will not miss The Simpsons. Thank you. That's good news from Fusco. Thanks, Fusco. Hey, Jonesy, Simpsons is not on tonight. Thanks. Hey, Jonesy, not to worry. NASCAR is preempted the entire Fox lineup. Grandmaster Sexay is hosting Heat. You ain't missing a thing. Doing good, but I was hoping for a little more channeling of Jerry Lewis. Do it to it, the cable guy. Mr. Jones, I don't think you have to worry about listeners missing the Simpsons program, as it would appear to be preempted for Blackwater Bumpkin Car Race. What a terrible shame. You're doing a spectacular job with your marathon Guinness attempt. Pull it off, and you'll be the cock of the walk. Cheers, Sean Connery. Manny is listening to Mo interview Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. No, I was listening. I was interviewing the guitarist, actually. And shame on me for not remembering his name. JJ, let's check it out here. JJ French. This is freaking awesome, Mo. You rule. Ask him about the David Bowie tribute thing and John Rocker shows. And Mo is on top of his game. You rule, Mo. Keep going. Mo is going out drinking with him. Cool, Mo. You effing rule. I can't believe Mo has been talking as much as he has and still in fighting shape just a few hours before he breaks the record. Mo, no one was sure if you could do it, and we still don't know since it will get tough every hour. But you are the man. Keep it going. Stay on the air so long that no one can break the record. The Mark McGuire of radio. The Babe Ruth of DJs. The Ricky Henderson of rock and roll. Go, 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 go. Mo, you should do this every weekend. I'd like to, actually. I could sleep the latter part of the week. Ah! Jones, says Tim from the Skells. I know you're going to break the record and make North Jersey proud. I'm sorry that you aren't enjoying Memorial Day the way you would like. Hey, man, it's, you know, it's not a great Memorial Day anyway. And there's nothing I'd rather do than this. In someone's backyard with many a brew, but I'm sure you are going to have to settle for making history instead. Anyway, on behalf of the Skells and myself, good luck. I know you can do it, and I'm looking forward to playing the next Fat Pack show at the Loop, if you'll have us. Yeah, you guys are great, man. I will have you. In you, the spirit of the great Lester Bangs and real rock and roll live on. Just another voice of support. Your ability to remain coherent is astounding. Glenn, you are already in my record book for making Sunday the best goddamn day of the week. Stay focused. Stay cool. You rule. Love you, Suzanne. Hey, you guys can babble and stuff amongst yourself. Everyone else was while I was talking, and it's okay. It doesn't matter. So I don't want to keep everyone in the room from, you know, talking because I'm on mic. So feel free. Have a good time. Dear Master Glenn, it's all over with the shouting. I can't foresee anything stopping you at this point. What the hell is with your sidekick, X-Ray? You have not had an alcoholic beverage in a week, and he could not even have the courtesy to not show up, drunk out of his mind for your grand event. When I used to say meow, 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 I was trying to say X-Ray, Burns has no class. I wish I still was alive so I can pee on his pillow. I'm sitting here in my sandbox in clouds, watching over you as always. He has a cat toy. I have a cat toy. He has a cat toy. I have a cat toy. He has a veal. I have a veal. Your faithful pet, Mr. Basketball. X-Ray, don't you worry. That's not the real Mr. Basketball. It's a troublemaker. But he's usually pretty funny, so I like it. Jones, just wishing you the best of luck in your radio endeavor. I came, I saw, you're as legit as they come. Our engineers eagerly await your 50-plus tapes documenting the historic event. Those Bob and Ray tapes can't wait. Jones is what the people want. So what are you going to do with all that Guinness? Ken Beck, the Museum of Television and Radio in New York. Hey, that's good to hear from you, Ken. He says this will be archived in the museum. We're already archived. Burns and I are archived in the museum from our show there. And Harlack is archived in the museum with Joe Franklin and Captain Lou Albano. And this, too, shall be archived. Which is cool. Not that I ever went there and looked for it, but it can be dead someday, and some college kid can say, what was radio like back then? And they'll be wrong. We just got back from vacation, but the first thing we did when we got home was turn the computer on, check out how you were doing. I'm doing all right. Except I wish I wasn't. I wish my damn tongue could speak properly. Because then I could talk all night. Jonesy, I know you're going to last a whole effing week and then some, even though I gave you a lot of S about maybe not being able to make it deep. In my heart, you're going to pass over the century mark in the hours, maybe 120 nonstop. I know you can do it. I live in Vermont, and I'm going to an all-night dance called a dawn dance, where we dance all night from 8 to 8. We are truly lightweights compared to you. You rock, Jonesy. You're bringing the cup back to the good old USA. I'll find out tomorrow if you did it, bub, but I have no doubt that you'll bring it home. Don't give up the fight. Go for 100 hours. Peace, Peter. See how we feel in the morning. We'll obviously go several hours beyond breaking the record just because we'll be on a high at that point. Mr. Jones, just wanted to say thank you and WFMU for keeping radio real. We have been listening every chance we can since you started your long and strange and cool journey. The song choices are great. Any more cool guests? Keep on keeping on. We're behind you all the way, Eric and Carrie. For Christ's sakes, will somebody go over to the Stone Pony and stick a cell phone in Springsteen's face and explain to him that this dude is real and he's a good guy and he just wants to talk to another good guy from Jersey? Dear Jonesy, if you need a sponge bath, give me a call tonight. Florence Nightingale. I can't believe I forgot to tell you a very important song to play, Irene Wilde by Ian Hunter on All-American Alien Boy. Beg someone to pull it, I promise it's worth it. The chorus is, I'm going to be somebody someday. It's the perfect song for you, but who is about to become somebody to the public but always was somebody to your friends. Sounding good, looking good. Love, Carrie. Could somebody pull that for me then? What? Irene Wilde by Ian Hunter on the All-American Alien Boy album. Thanks. It doesn't have to be now. Okay. Jones, you are amazing. It is this sort of thing that renews my spirit. The creativity and commitment of WFMU is a good thing. I will continue to listen with rapt attention. Mr. Jones, I'm writing this at 8:04 a.m. Monday in Japan, which means you have only 2.5 hours to go by our time. You've made it in Kyoto. I'm off to work, but will tune in when I get home to listen to you break the record in the States. That record is almost history for you. I think it's time for you to start thinking about your next stunt. Listening to you talk with Nakam earlier, I think you should approach the general manager with a challenge, as you were challenged to do this marathon record-breaking. Nakam holds the record for a remote broadcast from Hawaii. FMU should send you to Kyoto, Japan to do a live remote for a new station record. Sake, sushi, and geisha, I can arrange for you. I can also help with the radio stations here in Kyoto. Jones can go beyond the web to be truly worldwide in the flesh. Hey, it's us again from West Cape May. The kid that rescued your shades from the pool in Wildwood, keep it up. You're in the home stretch now. The world's watching. FMU rules. Wore the radio headlock t-shirt today in tribute while filming my Beef 101 for Channel 13. We'll get you a copy. Ali. Let's see what we got here. Oh, okay. We don't have the thanks. Frank O'Toole just checked for us, and we don't have the Ian Hunter record. Sorry. Glenn, we're with you all night in the parking lot. We'll go to the diner for you if you want. Love, Mark and Jen. Thanks, guys. That's really cool. I'm thrilled that you're out there. And if I do decide to stop broadcasting, I'm going to crawl out there and crawl in between you. Hey, it's us again from West Cape May. Oh, I read that, right? We're at a barbecue in Bloomfield, all 23 of us listening to you loud and proud. Been listening to you since the beginning and until the triumphant end. Lots of luck, positive energy coming your way. See you at the Loop. Go, Jones, go. It's going to be a hell of a Loop show. June 10th, Fleshtones and the Swinging Neckbreakers, X-Ray Burns and Glenn Jones returns to the Loop Lounge, the triumphant Fat Pack 2001 tour. Could you play the new Seekers, Look What They've Done to My Song? Thanks. Good luck. Did you try the urine yet? You sent me some urine? I hope they keep this webcam on forever. It's very comforting while working, along with the push of the great music. Now, this thing's out of here when I'm out of here. Because, quite frankly, when we're doing radio, we don't really want you watching. And I think I speak for my fellow staff members when I say that. It's not meant to be looked at, but this is something different, something special. Do you hope for a rush of activity after this or a relaxing come down? If it rains really hard, will you play PJ Harvey's Black Monsoon? Hey, Jones, you're heading into the home stretch, baby. I've been listening all weekend, and I'm pulling for you all the way. Don't give up, and let's bring it home, Hunter. Thanks, Hunter. Jones, think Secretariat. Stop reading the emails, get into the zone, and just keep peeling off one great song after another. You are the thoroughbred of rock and roll. Remember, it's all about the music. After all, that's what attracted so much of us to you in the first place. 7 years ago, I was listening to radio while shoveling my snow during that harsh winter in 94, 95, and came upon a set of amazing music. I think it was Allison by Elvis, then some Dead, then some Cypress Hill and Bruce or Sinatra or Badfinger or Dr. Hook. I couldn't believe that this type of freeform was actually available every Sunday from noon to 3. I've been a loyal listener ever since and love your show, but I really love the music. When you pick it and play it, it speaks in volumes. You make us all feel a little better every Sunday, and you're the best thing about living in Essex County, Kevin. Jonesy. Oh, yeah, man. O.J. Nixon also called, and we missed him. If this, I have to try to call him as well. It's official. You're the greatest DJ alive. It's your honor. In your honor, we drank until 7:30 last night, locked it in an after-hours bar in Queens. Look around for the phone numbers. Maybe I'll give a... Mojo Nixon, the call. Well, it's around here someplace, and I'll track it down.
What do you
need? I wrote down a series. I had a series of numbers that were hanging up there that I brought over here, and we'll find it. It's around here someplace.
Phone numbers or something else?
It was a list of phone numbers. Yeah. No, it was like a sheet of paper like this.
Is this it?
Yeah, that's it. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Ah, they didn't write that number down there. I'll check my messages, and I will give them a call. Yeah, I'll stop for now. Losing my voice.
I can't wait till the middle of the night when I have no voice and I'm taking calls like this.
That's going to be fun. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Glenn.
This is Echo and the Bunnymen, The Killing Moon.
Soon you'll take me. Oh. your arms too late to beg you or cancel it, though I know it must be the killing time. Unwillingly mine. Fate up against your will, through the thick and thin, he will wait until you give yourself. Your lips a magic world, your sky all hung with jewels. The killing moon will come too soon. Fate up against your will, through the thick and thin, he will wait until you give yourself to
Jonesy. Here. Could somebody call the Tropicana, information of the Tropicana in Atlantic City for me? And ask for Chuck Wepner's room. I don't know the number. I don't know the room number anymore. Well, we want to get a hold of him and tell him that we're sorry we haven't picked up. And try to get a hold of him. Oh, damn it. Are you there? Are you there? Yeah, I lost him. Maybe he'll call back. Are you there? You are there. Hey, Mike Watt, how are you?
Just a sec, Matt. The other phone's going. Yeah, man. I think you're kicking massive everything doing this, and it's great, and I'm behind you. I want to tell you that.
How the hell did you hear about us?
Well, I'm just in the town. I'm going on another tour with Maskus, and John Rosenfelder said there's a cat going for it. It's like a major hell ride. And to the station.
You're fading. You're on the cell phone, man.
In fact, I'm on the other phone, too, talking to some drummer. This guy, Matt, that I'm going to record with.
So you got the whole rhythm section going.
Just give you all my support, you know, also.
Yeah, you're breaking up big time, man.
Sorry, and we're just... too. But if I was in Peter, I could hear it, too. That's the magic of the Internet. So, or the letdown of the Internet.
So you're driving around now. Are you driving around?
No, I'm up in Jimbo's pad.
Uh-huh.
And there's so much, there's so much cement buildings, you know, and maybe that's why.
I see. Like the cement pond, right?
except we're up instead of down.
So
well, I guess if it was empty, yeah.
So you just happened to hear what's going on. You tuned in.
Yeah.
And you decided to give me a call.
Yeah.
That's funny. I've been calling out to celebrities all day long.
Well, I ain't much of a celebrity.
Nah, everyone,
but I'm a big fan of yours, so keep going. Really.
Everyone in the room went nuts, man, when they heard you were on the phone. Seriously.
Well, I'm nuts, too.
That's cool. I appreciate your calling, dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, I just dig what you're doing. I had a pirate show for a couple of years.
Yeah, where was that?
LA, and, man, I just believe in people taking the airwaves and speaking their mind and doing crazy stuff like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you so, did.
Much respect to you, Glenn.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you checking in.
All right, I still got you on.
What are you doing these days?
Well, I'm about to go to Europe with Maskus right now.
Uh-huh.
And one more leg with him. And then I'm going to make a record in the summer, and I'll be on tour again. I want to play at your station.
Yeah?
I've been asked a few times, and I've just never had time, and I really, really want to.
Well, you got to play on my show.
All right. Absolutely.
You call me, man.
Now okay, I will.
On my show.
So, okay. You hear that, Juan?
Now, how do I get a hold of you? You obviously can't keep your number out on the air.
My email.
Email.
Yeah.
Can you give it?
Hootpage, HOOTPAGE, @yahoo.com.
Hootpage.
YAHOO.com.
Okay. Hoot.
So write a lot of emails tonight, Walt. Well, that's
all right. That's
all right. Get a lot of
Glenn writes me. It's worth it.
I got like 1,000 emails here from people in like Kyoto and stuff like that since we were on
What's nice about the web. So
yeah.
But get a hold of me, and I'll come play your show. I'd be honored to work there. Really.
Okay. I'd love that, man.
Thanks, bro.
Thanks a lot.
I'll let you go. Keep to it and keep strong.
Oh, I'm in, man.
All right.
Thanks. Mike Watt, formerly of the Minutemen and Firehose, checking in with us. Jonesy, let's see what else we got. What do we have on the turntable? Vince Gossa should be coming in shortly, in maybe the next 10 minutes or so, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And we're trying to track down all the people that we've lost over the weekend due to the insanity that's been going on around us and not hearing phones and not being able to pick up phones and all that stuff. Anyway, here is Bruce Springsteen, Open All Night.
Well, I had the carburetor maybe clean and check
like a turbine jet. Drop the roof in my backyard on concrete blocks for a new clutch. Red and new set of shocks. Took her down to the car wash. Checked the plugs and points. Well, I'm going after that. I'm gonna rock it, join Hurley, North Jersey, industrial skyline. I'm a hustle Cobra jet creeping through the nighttime. Gotta find a gas station. Gotta find a payphone. Just turn back, sure it's spooky at night when you're all alone.
Jonesy, that was Open All Night by Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, leave him a voicemail message and give him our numbers. This is radio on the fly. I mean, you don't have time to produce when you're on all the time, do you? This is the Momometers. With I Gotta Walk.
We'll be right back.
Jonesy. That's the Mommeters. And I Gotta Walk. And where could you pick up this record? Hey, Scott, where can you get this record?
Other Music.
Other Music, you can get this record. The Mommeters, M-O-M-E-T-E-R-S. Meet the Mommeters. I can't speak anymore, you know. You have to pardon me. The Mommeters. The Mommeters. M-O-M-E-T-E-R-S. Scott Williams Band. The song's called I Gotta Walk. Dead air works when you've been up for 3 days, you know? You can just have all the dead air you want. And it, in my brain, it's like it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Where the listeners are probably like, what, huh? Here's Beck with... Wait, that's 7 minutes, man.
Whoa, no good.
Go with number eight.
Go with eight.
Here's Beck with Whore It's At.
Of the towns we know, a place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow, pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone, bottles and cans, and just clap your hands, or just clap your hands.
Where's that?
Off the side of the road with the elevator bones and you whip flash tones. Members only, hypnotizers move through the room like ambulance drivers. Shine your shoes with your microphone blues, your suits with your parachute boots. Passing the Gucci from coast to coast like a man Gary Wilson. Those who swing both ways, ACDCs.
Let's make it out, baby.
Where's that? I got
That's Beck, Horitz at Jonesy, WFMU, East Orange, WXHD, Mount Hope, and worldwide on the web. Vince Scales is here.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How you doing? What is this shirt you're wearing?
Somebody sent me this from Florida.
I think that shirt is politically incorrect.
Do you think so?
Yeah, but it's wonderful. No, I think it's...
Sure, it's a cool shirt.
Yeah.
It's not really me, but when
can I
looked
stand
at it...
up too?
Yeah, well, I was going to sit down, but do you want to stand?
Oh, you want to
sit down? No, standing's
stand
fine
up?
With me. I usually
stand?
Often stand up.
Stand? Okay.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Do I get headsets?
Yeah, we're going to work out all that stuff for you.
I can't work radio without headsets.
I hear you.
Okay.
And then actually, when we get tired, we can sit down.
It's not really radio unless headsets are on.
I agree with you there.
I'm not allowed to speak for more than like a minute or something?
I have to interject, like saying yes, or just interrupting with a word or two.
Is there more volume?
Yeah. Can we get some volume for Vin here?
Oh, so I can talk, but you just have to go, uh-huh.
Yeah, I have to say, have to interrupt somehow, too loud. Somehow or another.
Too loud. Yeah, that's good. No, that's not good. Where is that?
This is how you do it on the fly when you've been on forever. Would you be more comfortable sitting?
No, I'll stand with you.
I'm standing with you,
man.
Because I'm glad to sit down.
Oh, you want to sit?
Either way.
You want to sit?
We're both trying to be so damn nice.
All right, sit. Let's sit.
I'll tell you what, let's sit.
Let's sit. Come on. I found Irene Weil for you. But not by Ian Hunter, by Alejandro Escovedo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, sit down. Take a load off your feet, man.
Yeah. I guess I need it, right?
Did you ever get to talk to Mojo?
Actually, I started to write down his number
what
got tied up. I got to call him. I'm going to call him up later. Should we call him together, maybe?
Sure. Mojo. Mojo is everywhere, you know. Or
okay,
Elvis
we'll
is everywhere. We'll
do that in a little bit, actually.
That's my daughter over there. It's Kate.
Hey, Kate.
It's Amanda.
Amanda, I've heard so much about Kate on the air and so much of Kate on the air.
Why are you doing this?
Because it's something special on the radio.
It is very special.
And I'd love to be
on
the
radio.
But, I
mean, what was the original impetus for doing it?
The original reasoning? Probably like a stunt, you know, attention getter or something.
Did somebody
like that.
Challenge you?
No, I just, I don't know what it was. I was obsessed. Ken Friedman sent me a Wires copy story on some fellow in Malaysia who did something like this and stayed on for, you know, an enormous amount of time. And he wrote Get in Training on the subject line of the email, and I was so attracted to the idea that I called Friedman up in the office.
Right.
And he was just joking, but I called him in the office to tell him how serious I was, that I really wanted to do this, and he said okay. You know, he thought it was a great idea.
But Jones, as much as I know you, which is from listening to your show,
right?
You drink,
yeah.
You smoke,
yeah.
You're chubby like me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm fat. You're chubby. Yeah. I'm fat. I'm obese, actually. I'm officially obese.
I'm pretty obese, too. Yeah, you're not a guy who's in great shape. I mean, I don't think... You probably don't exercise, right? I mean, you probably
I started
don't.
Riding a bike because I got into it at the Jersey Shore one day when it rained. I rented.
But this is the kind of thing that, like, somebody really has to be in great shape for.
I don't think so, actually. I think it's a mental thing.
You think?
Yeah. Because, obviously, I've gotten this far, and I don't have the physical... wherewithal, so it's been mental.
Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you seen your eyes?
No, is it bulging? I have a Graves' disease, a thyroid thing that causes this eye to bulge.
That eye bulges, yeah.
And
but your other eye ain't looking too good.
No?
No. But the rest of you is exuding a power and a momentum that is just awe-inspiring. It really is. I couldn't do this, man. Like last night, I only slept for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because I was just having a restless night.
Yeah, I've had that.
And I had to drive down to Toms River today and drove all the way down there and to sick parents and stuff like that. Drove all the way back. And I'm really exhausted. And I'm thinking, look at Jones, man. Jones has been doing this since Friday morning. What do I have to bitch and complain about?
You know what I think it is? When you sleep a little bit, you really feel exhausted.
Yeah.
And I have moments where I feel like I just got up. You know, during the day, usually, you know, when the sun comes up and the activity comes around here, I spend the nights usually with my head falling down onto the table and everyone around me pokes me and keeps me up.
Yeah.
But when the sun comes up and I get a little break and I go through some water on my face or clean or whatever, for a while, I feel like it's I just showered and I'm having a regular day.
You know what day it is, right?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, I have to
think
about
it,
though.
Yeah. But and you know The Simpsons wasn't on tonight.
Yeah, I got a bunch of emails telling me so. Actually, I was worried about that.
Yeah, really. You know. So have you hallucinated or anything?
No,
like that?
Not yet. Everyone says, you know, every time I get an email. It's something like, wait till you get to the 45th hour. Uh-huh. Then I get to the 50th, and I get emails like, wait till that 60th hour. So I don't know if it's ever going to come.
I don't know. Have you ever stayed up this long before?
No. No, never.
Yeah, okay. Why would anybody stay up this long?
Yeah, people ask me if I practice, and why would you practice? Because, you know, if you stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning practicing, at come 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd be, screw this, I'm going to bed.
Right, exactly.
Because there's no reason to stay up. It's silly to practice. Whereas now I have a reason. I said I was going to do it. I wanted to do it. And, I work, I love radio. I always felt like I'm not for real. I'm not like a real radio guy. I have the passion. But I work at WFMU, and you know, as much as we love it,
it's real.
As much as we love it, it doesn't feel like, you know,
like you get the attention.
It feels like I stumbled. Yeah, it feels like I stumbled into this,
right?
And you know, I couldn't get a real job for the life of me if I wanted to, and so it's my way of trying to do something special in radio.
You're gonna be in the record book, man.
Yeah.
You're going to be in a record book. Glenn Jones on FMU.
Yeah.
How many hours? It's going to be like over 70 hours or something?
Yeah. Well, to break the record, tomorrow morning will be 73:30.
But you're just going to keep going after
Yeah,
that.
I'm
going
to keep going
as long
much
as you
can. Yeah, why not?
So that nobody else can ever have the record ever again.
Not so much as that, as I'll never get this opportunity again. And I find that as much as you hurt sometimes, you feel really good other times, and you have fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And do people come in and... you get back rubs?
Yeah, I get back rubs. I do. I get the best back rubs.
But not from ugly fat guys like me, right? pretty girls, at least, right?
It's actually... Pretty girl gave me a back rub 2 days in a row, yeah.
And did she...
No,
kiss you on the neck like
no,
that?
She didn't kiss me on the neck like you did.
No.
Will you do that again?
You want it again?
Yeah.
Wow. Very nice.
See, that means more to me than a pretty girl kissing me on the neck, because you're Vince Scalzo.
Yeah, I didn't really kiss you. I've been sitting here all that time.
We got people who are watching on the web.
Oh, no. Oh, scary. I got a present for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting.
It's in a Dwayne Reed bag.
They're good because they make sound effects.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Little Santa Claus?
A little Santa Claus.
Watch.
And he's cool. He's got shades. So is this the first hallucination?
Yes, this is the first hallucination.
That's great. Now, that immediately makes me think of The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, the fish, right?
Right,
yeah,
the fish. Yeah.
Now, I think he's supposed to work. He's supposed to respond
To clapping?
To clapping, but I don't think he does. He's a very...
He seems pretty stubborn. He doesn't respond when you clap. How about when I clap?
No.
Maybe
when he finishes his song and he's quiet, then maybe to start him again,
you can clap.
I don't know. I never got that far with him.
I love it. And there, for the people watching on the web.
Yeah.
Well, that's
I thought you'd dig him with the sunglasses.
I do.
Stuff,
he's a cool look. He's got a sax.
Yeah, he's got a saxophone.
And he's got the shades on.
And I found Irene Wilde for you.
Yeah.
Alejandro Escovedo does a nice version of it.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to play that.
All right.
And let me just... I got to cue things up.
You have to do your own engineering? Is that part
that's
of
the... That's the part of the thing,
part
yeah.
of the thing?
You have to do your own.
You have to do everything.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, and you can't have, like, your partner, like, X-Ray can't be here. What happened with X-Ray? He didn't show up at all?
He showed up today for the regular shift, and I had to interview him, and I let him choose the records this week, whereas I usually choose the records.
Okay.
So that he would be a part of it.
All right, good. And are there people out in the parking lot? We didn't drive by.
There's people that brought a tent.
Yeah?
And now I'm told Dana and Nick and Emmett.
They are. You can hear them. That's great.
Dana, Nick, and Emmett have joined Mark and Jen in the parking lot, and they're all here all night and want to hear The River by Bruce. That's cool. We'll play The River.
Can I go see him?
Yeah, please step out on the fire escape and wave to them. Skelsa's coming out to wave to you guys. This is why I'm doing it. I'm hanging out with Skelsa, right? Now, he's never going to come back, man. He's going to wind up hanging out in the tent all night with these guys. What's that?
He's in a Ramones song.
Yeah, can someone get that Ramones song that he's in?
It's on End of the Century.
That's on vinyl in there.
Ramones, End of the Century.
Jones!
Yeah. Hey.
Corrupting a 9-year-old kid out there.
Is there a 9-year-old out there also? Well, whoever brought the 9-year-old is corrupting the 9-year-old.
Oh,
not me. I'm not allowed to go past that door. I can't even go wave to them. I got to stay inside the studio.
Oh, I know it right.
Yeah.
You can't even go out? You can't?
No. And when I first did this, I envisioned myself hanging out looking at the stars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I like the night. And if I had to be up, that would be a cool thing to do.
Well, what if I go out and look at the stars?
You could come back and tell me about it.
And describe them to you. Well, there's a 9-year-old kid out there. Uh-huh. There's a very pretty girl with long blonde hippie hair.
Uh-huh. Is she the girl whose breast I signed earlier?
Did you sign a breast?
She asked me to, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, she didn't like, you know, she just kind of peeled down a little bit.
I saw a little bit of that.
And I, you know, I made it a big message, too. I wrote a lot. There, now he's working, Santa's working by the clapping.
Feel good?
Yeah, I do feel good.
All right.
Actually. My mom has a collection of Santas. She likes the Santas that do little dances and sing stupid songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She has one in a tuxedo that sings celebrate millennium kind of thing.
Jones, I can't imagine your mom.
My mom's just like every other mommy.
Is she?
Yeah, she looks like most mommies. Yeah. She's about 5'2", and she has reddish hair, and it's kind of up in a bun.
Jersey born?
Heavy set, yeah. Yeah, born in Newark.
Yeah.
She was conceived in Scotland, she always says. I don't know how true that is. I mean, I assume it's true. She's my mommy.
Well, why would she lie to you?
Well, because how do you know where you're conceived? You just, you know.
Well, her parents must have told
her. They probably told her,
yeah. Exactly.
But she has these Santas, and she puts them all on at the same time, and they sing different songs. And it's actually kind of, it almost has a frightening effect.
I would think it would.
You know, do you like my? It looks like a memorial. These are all the gifts that people have
given
me. Oh,
so I should put Santa
over there? So the Santa's
going
to go over there. Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll find a nice place for the Santa.
All right.
There.
Actually, I think maybe Santa could go on a turntable.
Yeah,
that
would
be
good,
fun.
Actually,
and have him
spin around
singing,
while he's singing.
Cool. Was that Humphrey Bogart?
Bogart, yeah.
Bogart.
That's a good one.
There's Homer Simpson and
Fonzie over there.
Is that Fonzie or Elvis?
That's Fonzie. Actually, it's Fonzie's head put on a different doll.
Right. There you go.
And now we have the autograph of Mr. Olympia and Mr. Matt.
Don't put him on too fast a speed, though. Yo. Get closer to Glenn.
Ooh. There we go.
Ooh.
Now we're close.
All right. Let's get close, man.
Okay. All right. You can do this.
Hey, look who's here. Yo La Tengo.
Wow,
hey,
Yo La Tengo's here.
Wow. Hi, Georgia.
Hello.
Hi, Ira. How you guys doing? Wow. How cool is that, man?
This
Yo
is great.
Tango
this
showed
is a star-studded evening, isn't
Woo.
It?
Woo. Yeah. Should we have him come over and say hello?
Yeah, please.
Come on, come say hello.
Do we have another microphone here?
Do we have a Yo La Tengo record here? No.
Yeah, we definitely have a Yo La Tengo.
We must have Yo La Tengo
record. We can do that.
Got to come in close.
Okay.
Hey, Georgia.
Hello.
Hey, how are
you? How
you
doing?
Hello.
You know Glenn Jones?
Oh, yeah.
I used to see you guys in the streets of Hoboken all the time when I lived there.
Sure. That's where we hang around.
Always walking around.
You've been watching this? You've been listening to it?
We've been listening mostly in the car because we can't really get it in the apartment.
Where's
they put up a building across the street, and now we can't really pick up this station anymore.
In Hoboken?
Yeah, in Hoboken.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
The new improved Hoboken is killing all our FMU reception.
If it's a nice day, we can get it, but...
So you just been driving around in the car listening to FMU?
That's right.
Much
as possible.
Pretty much.
Did we miss Ace Frehley?
I don't know that we're going to get Ace. We haven't heard anything about him yet.
Okay.
But we had Paul Stanley and we had Gene Simmons
on. We heard Paul Stanley. We heard Dee Snider.
We had
today.
Congressman Bob Franks on.
I heard about that.
His people called because we were on the AP wire, and he wanted to be interviewed. So we figured, what the hell?
He was politicking, huh?
He was politicking, yeah. And you know who he said his favorite band was when I asked? Because I had
the Street Band.
Like that.
I'm
of
sure.
course, yeah.
Bruce Springsteen, definitely.
Absolutely.
He didn't say Yo La Tengo.
No, he didn't.
Rat
no.
bastard.
And in fact, he said his second favorite was, now I'm starting to lose my mind. I can't remember his name. Jimmy Buffett, which I thought I thought that was unusual for him to have to say.
Yeah, but Jimmy Buffett is like, that's kind of corny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every politician likes Jimmy Buffett.
Right.
You know, it's like there's no harm in that.
But, you know, they shouldn't like Jimmy Buffett because he smokes a lot of pot.
Well.
For example.
That's true.
Or at least so he says.
Thrown out of basketball games, too, mm-hmm. right? Wasn't that him? Yeah.
Buffett gets thrown out of basketball games?
He did, a couple months ago, I guess.
Well, that's a pretty cool thing. We have another microphone? Oh, it's coming, huh? Okay.
So I've been handed a note that says that I have to be the interviewer because that would disqualify me if I'm not. So I have to talk more or ask questions.
Oh, I have to stop.
But I don't know what
to say. Well, you want to interview
Georgia?
Away. Interview Georgia. Here,
don't go
Georgia.
Away.
Georgia's going to sit down. Iris is going to sit down. Here you go.
No.
Headsets, microphone.
No, you didn't bring any instruments, did you?
No. No, we're just driving around. Oh,
just driving around. Okay, that's good. Well, you're going to come back, right? You're going
to
come back, right?
Yeah, I'll kiss you on the neck again.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hang out, man. Are you allowed to smoke on the air?
I'm allowed to smoke in here. Because they turned this into my bedroom.
Are you allowed to drink?
I could, but I'm not drinking. Yeah.
You could if you...
I could if I wanted to.
That wouldn't make any sense.
That would kill me, yeah. Yeah, that would knock me out.
I'm interviewing you.
No, that's all right.
You interview
me. I
enjoy it. We didn't bring anything. We didn't bring, like, a wobbly head Mets dollar or anything.
That's okay.
We were so excited by your show, we missed the Mets comeback today.
Did you really?
On the radio.
I always loved how you were, like, such big Mets fans.
It was,
It's
harder this
year. They had a big comeback? See, I don't know anything. Did they win today?
That's what I heard.
They were
losing. I was kind of going back and forth, and then I heard they won. So.
Right. I have no idea. I don't know what's happened since Thursday, I guess, and maybe not even. I don't even remember what happened back when I wasn't here.
Now I've been really because I haven't been able to hear too much of this. How much did the Dick Van Dyke show figure into your?
I wasn't able to see the Dick Van Dyke show. I wanted to see the Dick Van Dyke show episode before I started, and I checked out the website to see when it was playing, but the Dick Van Dyke show wasn't scheduled to air until sometime after I started.
And that's not on video or anything?
I tried. I looked on some websites, and they just didn't have it, no.
That's a good one, but I can't remember if he made it or not.
I'm sure he did. He's Dick Van Dyke. He couldn't be beat.
I don't know, but he had a whole thing with he was... I know it was rough. It was close. Mm-hmm. I think you're gonna. Seems like you're gonna, you know, cross the finish line more.
I'm definitely
of a burst
finish,
than he did.
Cross the finish line.
But I think he got the job with Alan Brady right after the stunt, or the accomplishment.
See, I don't remember too much about the episode because it was so long ago. But everyone's told me about all the episodes like this. You know, there's a PBS show about a guy who a DJ who stayed up for 5 days or something like that. A long time ago.
I don't know that.
And
one.
And they did a research on the effects it had on him. And
so what do you do after this is over?
After this is over, I sleep, I guess, and I go back to doing my Sunday show. Pretty
and just
much.
One, just don't miss a day or anything?
Yeah.
Just,
you know, what am I going to do?
There's no Disney World, Great Adventure, nothing?
Nah. Are you kidding? In fact, my friend here was telling me I was going to suffer from Gary Coleman disease. I would have, like, no attention after I left. Nobody watches when Jones pulls away.
What record did Gary Coleman set?
I didn't set a record, but he had his brush with fame. Because I've had so much attention this week. I've never been treated like a real radio person. I've been doing interviews in Japanese stations and Canadian stations, you know, some station in Toronto, a station in Illinois, a pirate station, the CBS radio network and all this stuff. You know, suddenly everyone, you know, is interested. They're intrigued by this guy who smells because he's stayed up. I take little cat naps, cat washes in the sink.
So that's right. So during the 15 minutes, do you sleep at all? Is that...
I have rested my eyes, but I've been afraid to go out.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what I'm thinking.
I wouldn't let that happen.
Now, somebody was saying that
I wouldn't get back up again.
Was there any this morning or something? Was there a scare?
I tricked everybody. You know what I did? I was feeling really tired, and I kept almost nodding out, but I managed to control everything. And there were times when I'll turn on the microphone and won't say anything for about 12 seconds, and I'll say the name of the song, and that's it. There was a segment where I stood up, and I was trying to create drama, and I was on the internet camera. And what I did was I read a playlist, and I went to start a song, and I fell backwards and made a loud thud. So the home audience would think that I had collapsed, and the people watching the video would think. And my friend, who was in charge of the room at the time, also works as a lawyer and has been advising me on this whole thing, grabbed me and pulled me to my feet immediately, and his glasses came off. They almost broke his glasses. I would have felt terrible. I just did it to be as a goof, just to create a buzz, a drama. And then the emails went nuts about, like, what the hell happened there? Are you all right? And then there was, like, there was all this buzz about how Jones had bloodied his face, which was completely not true.
But see, this is dramatic enough as it is. You don't have to add any extra drama.
And last night, I was so sure that I was going to make it to the finish line that I thought, like, well, you know, this isn't fun radio anymore. Now I have to make it, you know, I have to make up reasons why I might not make it.
No.
But,
Cousin Brucey, he already called? Did I miss that?
He said he would, and I haven't heard from him yet.
I heard Dan Ingram did.
Dan Ingram called today. But I think we've been having problems with the hotline here because we can't always hear the phone. There's so much activity. It's been a media circus we had.
Now, you're not used to working with all these people around, right?
Not really.
It's usually you and X-Ray.
Well, for some reason, lots of people come and hang out during our show, but they generally hang out on the fire escape.
It doesn't bother you?
It does actually bother me.
Yeah,
but
I couldn't work that way.
I don't like to work that way, but seem to have no choice.
Because I heard you say before that like the camera is not really part of what radio should be.
Oh, yeah, wrong. But for this
radio
particular
should be
event,
your imagination. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the camera's cool for this event.
I think so. This event, it's cool. You can check in at any hour of the day, and the person's there.
We're interviewing you again.
That's just because I'm brain dead, and it's hard for me to. Hard for me to control.
But I mean, I heard you. The first thing you said, like, you know, why are you doing this? I mean, it seems much more interesting to find out what you're thinking.
To interview him.
That's right.
Right. Well, that's how I lured you guys here, right? I mean, that's why I did this. But I have Vin Scalza on his knees here with a microphone. Vin is actually on his knees.
Oh, boy.
You're hallucinating.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So I'll give you a question to ask Ira.
Okay.
Does that count? You think that's okay?
I think that's all right.
All right. Ask him what's happening with Yola Tango. Is there a new album coming out
soon? What's happening with Yola Tango? Is there a new album coming out?
Yeah. Funny you should ask that.
No. That just came to me.
No, I don't think so. We're just not doing much right now.
No?
Enjoying the...
What do you mean just hanging out?
We're enjoying the baseball season. We practice.
What are you, like George Thorogood? You take off the baseball season?
Exactly. I wish we did. I do sometimes play softball, though.
I love to watch.
Competitive level.
I wish I were good at baseball, but I can't do that.
I wish I was good, too, but I just like...
Baseball is a beautiful sport, isn't it?
It is.
It really is.
There's something about that, you know, hitting the ball.
It's a real drama, even though it's very slow. There's just something so dramatic about it. Now, you don't strike me as a sports fan at all.
I'm not a sports guy at all. But I know that Yola Tango got their name from some guy who used to shout, Yola Tango.
Yeah, Yola Tango. That was, what was his name? He was on the Mets, right.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Well, let's see, who shouted it? Richie Ashburn shouted it.
Oh, really? I thought it was a guy with a funny
name. Leo Chacon. Richie Ashburn shouted it. Leo Chacon understood it. And Frank Thomas didn't understand it.
So that was a common thing there.
Yes.
Crashed. Right. Yeah.
But I always wanted to be better at baseball than I was. I always thought the one of the few occasions in my life that I hit a ball solidly, I broke somebody's arm, the pitcher.
Really?
I hit the ball so well that it, and I thought that was my baseball
career.
You know,
I could never hit, and I was always terrible at baseball. In school once, I hit the ball. I made contact somehow. And the way I did it was I tricked them. I knew that they always threw it up in the air, and I would wave the bat way up in the air out of the strike zone, and they'd strike me out. So I told myself, I'm not going to swing at the first pitch. It wasn't like I watched it. I just told myself, they're going to do that again. And then I swung at the second pitch, which I guess they got scared, and they threw it down the middle, and I actually made contact. But I tripped. And I ran like the entire way to first base on an angle, and you know, trying not to fall, and it must have looked completely ridiculous. And the only other time I was playing softball with some of the guys from FMU, and I actually made contact after some people gave me some advice on how to play, and I made contact and hit a line drive, but the shortstop, it went right at the shortstop, and he leaped up in the air and he caught it, and I was so disappointed. It was my only chance.
Did he say Yola Tango?
No, I think you only say Yola Tango when there's more than one person going to catch the ball. So you're telling the other guys so you don't bump into each other.
What was your sport?
I had no sport. I wasn't good at anything.
Football? No?
No, I was terrible at all sports. I didn't really have a father around to teach me rules or anything, and I wouldn't even know how to play when we go to gym class. So
you were like one of the last guy picked.
Last guy
like
picked,
that.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, see, I had that too, and I think that's why we're both in radio.
Yeah, well, a lot of people in radio are like that.
All the nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Skinny guys get into rock and roll bands. Guys who can play.
And they play softball.
Yeah, they play softball and stuff like
that. I'm quite a talent. It's true. Yeah. Now, I was one of those people who, like, you know, don't shoot when I'd get the ball, in the, you know, the touch the ball in the basketball court occasionally.
I scored a basket for the other team once by throwing it the wrong direction. And, of course, nobody blocked it because they knew, and it counted for the other team. And I had no idea why everyone hated me. I thought, like, yay! And
where'd you grow up?
Kearney. I was born in Newark and lived in Kearney most all of my life.
I got a question you can ask Ira.
Okay.
What was it like playing with Ray Davies?
What was it like? You played with Ray Davies?
Yeah. He and Georgia played the part of the Kinks.
Really?
And James? The whole band, right?
We backed up Ray Davies for 3 shows last August.
Oh.
At that really little theater where they did Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yeah.
James Street, so it was, you know, just a couple hundred people at the shows.
Yeah, I actually wanted to go to that, but never did make it.
It was amazing.
That was the storytelling thing?
No, not really. He did, we did about a half dozen of his new songs and a half dozen old King songs, but primarily songs that he had never performed live before. He said songs that he hadn't done since he'd recorded them, like This Is Where I Belong, and we did The Strange Effect, which the Kinks, they might have made a demo. I think they made a demo of that song, but they never actually released that song. Like, pretty obscure Kinks songs that, like, fans would be really excited if they did. I mean, it was, for me, that was the band
I was
obsessed with when I was young, and it was just...
Who initiated that, Ira?
I couldn't believe it was happening. Well, I mean, we have some mutual friends, so he's been aware of our band, and he knew how, you know, how much
music. I got to chime in.
Oh,
I have to talk to every minute. Someone yelled, chime in. So
that was great.
That must have been really cool. I wish I were there.
It was.
Do you actually have a stopwatch or something?
Using the stopwatch.
That's your official job.
All right.
We do have people who have that official job.
Now, are there people from the Guinness?
No, they rely on independent witnesses. We have witnesses over there that sign out on every song that we write, or every song we play. They write it down and have to sign logs. Everyone who comes in the room is usually asked to sign a log to just state that you were here and that you witnessed me here playing records and that sort of thing.
But if you didn't talk for a minute, who would blow the whistle on you?
We're videotaping it. We're going to send them the videotape of every moment of the broadcast. We're audio taping it. We have it archived on the web so that we're going to present all this evidence to them, including press coverage, and that's how they decide whether or not they recognize your claim.
Now, how about the guy who's got the record now? Have you been in touch with him?
No, I figured, you know, why bring attention to the fact that I'm going to break the record?
Really? You know? You think it'd be kind of like one of those Hank Aaron things? You think there'd be a lot of hard feelings?
No, I just didn't.
Angry letters?
Didn't really have any reason to.
No, I think there'd be like a DJ brotherhood.
It'd be great.
There seems to be a DJ brotherhood.
Billy Crystal will make a movie about you in a few years.
I got a message from Tony Pigg.
Really?
Yeah, Tony Pigg works at, does voice at Court TV where I work.
Right.
And he also works at Regis. And one day, I never talk to him. I see him go by my office every day because I work in the radio room. And he goes into the voiceover booth, and I think, like, there's a real DJ. I'd like to talk to him. But I never had the chance. And one day, I had him on the elevator, and I was just like, Tony Pigg. Yeah, you know, and I had to tell him about my radio show and all that. And real nice guy.
He's a cool guy.
Tony's
one of the original San Francisco DJs.
That's what I was
all
told.
All the way back to the
60s. I didn't realize that when I was talking to him.
Work with Tom Donahue and all those guys out at the KMPX or KSAN or whatever it was.
Yeah, I had no idea until Ken Friedman told me that.
Still ends almost every sentence with the word man.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, man, when I met him. And so, you know, we had this like small conversation, and he said, I could tell. Would you like to sit that chair there behind you?
No, I thought I should get Georgia over here.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, Georgia should come and sit, because I'll hang for a while.
Okay. So we had this short conversation, and he remembered. He said, "Like, I feel like I should talk to you about radio because I can tell you, you know, I can tell you got the itch, kid. you'd like to be a jock, that kind of thing. So he talked to me, and I don't know him or anything, and he heard that I was trying to do this by some people at the Regis show, and he called and left me a message that said, Glenn, man, I heard about what you're going to do. The guys at the Regis show told me what you're going to do, and you're going to effing make it, man. Let me tell you something. You can effing do this, man. You can this is the effing coolest thing. And he raved on, and I was so thrilled that actually he had called me and left a message that you know, there was some kind of brotherhood in radio, and I imagine there's brotherhood in music as well. But there's something about radio guys. They love radio, and they hear about things like this, and they're amused by it, and they think it's cool.
Well, I think there's something really exciting about this, which is probably, because most people just wouldn't think. I mean, you wouldn't think this thing. Gee, I wish I had thought of doing that.
I was obsessed when I heard about it. It wasn't like I wanted to do it. I was telling my friends, like, I have to do it. It was like a calling, you know? And it was a chance to do, more high-profile radio, more spectacular radio show. And whatever it takes, you know, the end justifies the mean.
So was there any thought of doing this during the marathon, or was it just how did you pick this weekend?
Because it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's a Jewish holiday on Monday and Tuesday, and while we could ask the other DJs to step aside, we felt as though Nachum Segal has such a huge audience in his Jewish music moments in the morning show that we didn't want to ask him. To take a slot. We just figured there was just too many listeners that would be crushed by the idea that he relinquished his time slot. And so we didn't feel that was a good idea, and so we chose that this weekend because we could continue broadcasting for two weekdays without bothering Nachum's listeners. So we chose this particular weekend. And wouldn't you know it, the weekend actually rolled around this week, and it got incredibly busy. I just got so busy doing things and preparing for it, and so hyped and psyched that the night before I only slept like an hour and 45 minutes.
I can imagine.
And I was ready to kill. And I really was not happy. But when I woke up, I knew, well, it doesn't matter. You got to do this.
What was the hardest, the second day? Was that harder?
The first day was the hardest because I felt like hell because I didn't have any sleep, and I just knew, like, I'm not supposed to feel this way. This is the first day. And imagine what it's going to be like the third or fourth day. But as it turned out, the first day was the hardest. It felt the worst. And I since then...
Announcing records, that must be really tough for you. I know that's not your thing.
I don't mind it because I'm a big fan of the old AM radio. And the old style of AM radio, you'd come on after every song. And I also consider myself pretty adaptable in broadcasting. I like all kinds of radio. So... I figure that's kind of cool. It's something different than what I normally do. And it also gives you a chance to go on a lot. And I've gotten, like, thousands of emails with these people that they don't just write, like, go for it. They write, like, page and a half, like, well-written things that just make you emotional and, you know, make you want to cry.
I love that one. I heard this afternoon about the woman whose husband was at the rally, so she thought she was going to finally get to turn off the radio but couldn't do it.
But she couldn't bring herself to do it, yeah. So. Stories like that just really really inspire you, and you get to the point where you're getting all this attention, and all these people are so happy about what you're doing and say it's so good, and you have no clue, because I know that I'm talking to you and I'm in control of myself right now, but I have no concept of whether or not this is interesting to people who are listening. So I have no clue all along. I didn't think it would necessarily be an interesting show. I thought maybe the drama would be whether or not I make it.
Right.
But people claim that it's fun to listen to.
Now, I because of our lousy radio reception, I haven't been able to hear it in the middle of the night. But you've been, like, going off on people, kind of like Jerry Lewis in the middle of the telethon.
In the middle of the night, it's kind of been the most interesting part, because that's the part where you feel like you can sleepwalk through, because there's not a lot going on. And you feel like it's hard to get through, because you feel like there's not a lot of people out there. But I started opening the telephone lines in the middle of the night, and that became great fun. Taking phone calls, it just was so much fun, and I'm going to do that again tonight. And that's my routine, it seems now. I like to take phone calls in the middle of the night, and then I start playing long songs, and I just come on and say the name of the cut. And a lot of times I'll open the mic and won't say anything for the longest time.
That's the question I've been wondering. I understand why you can't play songs that are over a certain length, but why is there the restriction on short songs?
You know, I felt the same way, but I kind of think I've come up with the reason because I've studied these rules a lot. I think what they're going for is the average radio show. So while the average song may be between 3 and 5 minutes or 2 and 6 minutes, rather than just say you can't play a song over 6 minutes, they're looking for an average radio show, and that's the average time of a song, probably. That's my guess, because there's no other reason why you shouldn't be able to play a song. It makes your job harder to play a song that's less than 2 minutes.
You don't have to play a certain number of songs, do you?
No.
I mean,
no.
You could just come out and talk for the entire time.
It appears you can. Well, it's a DJ. It's a DJ category, so I don't think they'd look fondly on that, but they don't say anything about a limit of amount of time you can talk, so I assume you can do what you want as far as that's concerned. But you know, to an extent, it worries me. When I'm taking phone calls, after a while, I feel as though the category is DJing. I better get back to playing records.
What about food? When do you get hungry, or how often do you get hungry?
I haven't been eating a lot at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm just kind of like, they'll put something in front of me and I'll eat a little bit of it and I'll go back to it later. I figure I got all, all week to eat, so I just leave it there, and I take nibbles and bites of it as I go along. See, they're handling me like a baby. They just handed me this water because they're trying to stop me from dehydrating and stuff like that.
Well, that's a good idea.
So now there's no music playing now. Again, very on FMU that you're on mic and there's no... Forgot where I was. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm big into the background music, but it is what it is.
You don't have like the Rocky theme playing?
No, I play it as a song now, whereas normally on my show I'll play it as a background piece.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different beast. But everything seems normal to me. Like, I have like 10 seconds of dead air where I'm just trying to like think. And to me that seems normal because I'm kind of going in slow motion. My brain isn't functioning the way it normally does.
And do you ever do the show by yourself?
Yeah, whenever X-Ray's not around, I do the show alone.
But is that, that's, how often is that?
A few times a year.
Okay.
I used to do the show by myself all the time. And the funny thing is, X-Ray and I think we're great partners and really good together. And whenever X-Ray's not there, so many people offer to step in as the co-host, but because they think I need a co-host. But I usually think like, hey, I get to be alone. I get to do something different this week. I used to be a big storyteller, tell a lot of stories on the air, and thought I specialized in that. And I don't do that a lot now because it's harder to do with two people. So I, from time to time, I enjoy being on by myself and just doing that. And to an extent, being on this long period of time has given me the opportunity to do some of that kind of stuff.
Now, of all of these questions we've asked you, you've talked to all these answers like what, 10 times each in the course of this? I have this feeling like even though we haven't been hearing any of this, that
I've worked out my answers. I've got it down. Whenever anybody asks a new question, I'm actually like, this is pretty cool.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's nice after all the interviews we've done to sort of do this with somebody else.
People seem to, and you develop your answers.
How
it's
did
kind
you
of
get your name?
My mommy named me. Why'd she name me after a valley? I always wanted, it's kind of a low point, I never could figure that out. I'm serious, actually. But I guess it's a Scottish thing. So it's all
nice
right.
Name. It's worse. Milton Bradley, he's got, he wants to know why his mom named him that. You know that. There's a ball player right now for the Montreal Expos named Milton Bradley.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know why people would do something like that. That seems kind of silly. Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And Albert Brooks. His name is Albert Einstein. Again, why would you do that?
Whose name is Albert Einstein?
Albert Brooks.
His real name is Albert Einstein?
Yeah.
Really?
His parents named him.
I guess they figured that'll grow up and be very smart.
They were comedians.
Oh, so they thought it was funny.
Like, it's nice.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I'll never have that problem. I don't plan on having kids or anything. This is my kid, my little radio show. I like to play radio.
We should bring Vin back.
It's a lot of fun.
We're out of trite questions, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm supposed to ask questions, but my brain's dead.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vin's floating around someplace. He gave us a. Here we have some Yellow Tango.
Yeah, this is the real reason we came, just to try to get ourselves playing on the radio.
It always works when you walk in, right?
Yeah, we got to get out of here and go to a few more stations tonight.
Right, you have to make the rounds,
yeah,
as they say. This is Sugar Cube coming up from Yellow Tango. And you guys are going to hang a little bit, right?
Sure.
Good. Everybody seems to be here. Rickson's around, I see. Bill Kelly showed up. Mr. Wilson's here. A lot of people. This seems to be a happening kind of place. The happening, yeah. And later on, everybody can watch me conk out and watch my head fall to the floor. This here is Yola Tango's Sugar Cube. And that was Yola Tango, Sugar Cube. And now we have on turntable 2, the Ramones, It's Not My Place.
Get get a good job, you need the proper schooling. Now who the hell do you think you're fooling? Well, it's not my place.
That's the Ramones. It's Not My Place with Vinnie Scalzo on the radio. Glenn Jones here, going for the world record and approaching yet another hour. And I can't do math anymore, so I don't know what hour it is, but it's a good one. Here is Alejandro Escovedo and Irene Wilde, which my friend Carrie wanted us to play, and Vin actually brought it for us because we couldn't find the copy that Carrie told us about. So the magic of radio, you know, you don't have to call and say, do you need anything? You just listen, and then you bring the thing that the person needs. That works out well. And here it is here, Alejandro Escovedo, Irene Wilde.
When I was just 16, I stood waiting for a dream. Barker Street was stationed on a fair. When I tried to get it on, she just looked at me with scorn. My courage turned to dust and I took flight. For those looks they seemed to say, you ain't nothing, go away. You're just a face in the crowd. So I went home, and then I vowed I'm gonna be somebody someday. Her name was Irene Wilde. Oh, such beauty for a child. She started dating boys and nearly died. Well, I could not barely stand seeing someone hold her hand. I felt I had to run away. Oh, in my mother's sitting room, composed so many tunes all the same.
just for fame, for a name and just the same. Gonna be somebody someday. Wild is your name. Since left that country town, I've been around, I've had some ups, I found some fame, I've had some downs. Smile at your shot to hear your name aloud. It's just that face in the crowd. I didn't dig it, much too proud. I was just 16, I stood waiting for a queen. Barker Street bus station every night. At the time it seemed so sad, but it didn't turn out bad. If you hadn't masked me up, I'd still be there. For I think most folks agree, little put down, and then they see they're not the chain, they're just a link. And that's why you made me think I'm gonna be somebody, be somebody, be somebody someday.
See that, Glenn? That's why they wanted you to play that song.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be somebody someday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was sweet of them.
This is your weekend of somebodyness.
Yeah, this is my weekend to play Grown Up. Seriously, I do look at it that way. I receive great accolades from a lot of friends of mine and stuff, but I feel like a grown up. When they started scheduling me for interviews and I would go do IATA.com and stuff like that, I felt like a grown-up.
Yeah,
walk in and be the guest and get to talk to people and stuff. It was a lot of fun. And my dream, actually, was to try to get a hold of Springsteen and get him to call, because I just felt like, I've always heard Bruce is such a nice guy, and I'm sure it's true, that I wanted to try to explain to him what I was doing and that how much it meant to me. And, what I normally do, which I think is something that he would appreciate.
He's playing down the Stone Pony.
He played the Stone Pony tonight.
So, you got to figure somebody must have told him.
Well, by the time I told the listeners to do something about it, he was already on stage. So anybody who was already there was there. Mm. One friend just called, and she was there. And she's waiting out front, but she thinks Bruce slipped out the back door. Mm. So she said if she sees Southside, she would grab him and have him call.
They're all down there tonight?
I think Southside was the one who was playing.
Oh, and Bruce showed up and gigged with him.
Bruce showed up. But gave him my best shot. I didn't call the publicist or anything because they just
figured, can't get through those people.
Yeah, I mean, because I thought the angle, it's only WFM, so I thought the angle was that, I'm just a guy, and I admire you.
He's just a guy.
And
right?
He's just a guy, right. He's a good guy.
Hey, don't give up, man. The night is still early.
This is
the
true.
The night is young.
This is true.
Yeah. Bruce is out there somewhere.
He is out there someplace, but he's not within listening range. We don't go that far down.
Well, he's got a computer.
Down south. That's true, but he's going to log on FMU?
You never know, man. You don't know what that guy.
I mean, it's possible somebody who knows him might.
Sure. There's got to be. How many people in New Jersey? There's millions of people in New Jersey.
I bet there's at least one person in this room who knows Bruce.
I bet you.
I'm pointing at him.
I don't know how to get to him, man.
No.
Any more than anybody else does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was something that I thought would be really cool.
It would be.
And one of the other things I thought would be really cool was your coming here. So I'm glad you did.
And you didn't realize, you didn't know I was going to kiss you on the neck.
No, that was very good.
Or give you later on a... No, never mind. My daughter's here. I have a record though for you.
In your pocket?
In my pocket. It's not for you to keep. It's just for you to play.
Wow, it's fit in your pocket. You have special pockets? Are those professional DJ pockets
DJ
that I never
pockets,
knew anything
man.
About?
Yeah, yeah. This is Grantley Phillips from Grantley Buffalo, the band Grantley Buffalo.
No, I don't actually.
This is an album that he has coming out this summer, and I thought that a song called Sleepless Lake
sounds
would be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's track 11.
Okay.
It's not, no, it's 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Is that okay?
What track is it again?
Track 11.
Okay. And I have to announce the name, so let me...
Sleepless Lake.
Let me cue it up.
Okay.
I'm going to play it now. Now, you don't get up from that seat, okay?
I won't. Okay.
Sleepless Lake by, oh, you have to announce it.
Yeah. Well, you can say it, but I have to, you know.
You have to say it again.
I have to intro it. Right. Right. I mean, people can tell me what to do. That's no problem.
Oh, yeah?
They, you know, Guinness doesn't have any problem with being stupid or anything like that. Or being,
announce the name of the song and the artist.
Okay. This is Sleepless Lake by Grant Lee Phillips.
Dear, you draw me closer still, and let me be the wild witness to the kill. See how the stars abide, showing no resistance late into the night. Bluer than the winter wind that howls on a sleepless lake. Ooh. Me, I'm under no duress, not for rain my throat before a hungry lioness. Beats a violent drum along with these blues of mine. Bluer than the winter wind that howls on a sleepless lake. Where the light and shadows bend, I walk your silent horns along the Michigan. Grief vanished by the glow, electric dying autumn has a color all of its own. Bluer than the winter wind that howls on a sleepless lake.
WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and worldwide on the web.
On the web. Did you like that song? You
didn't
hear, you didn't hear a note of it.
I couldn't hear the words, right? But I thought it was pretty sounding.
It's very pretty. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a nice voice and a neat way of writing. And a part of the words are just, he goes, dee, 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 so it doesn't matter anyhow.
It sounds familiar. Yeah. Have you played it before?
Only last night, maybe.
No, yeah, last night was here, so...
But there's a lot of songs that sound like dee, 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 dee. Uh-huh.
Like what? See, now I'm interviewing you.
Oh, no. go ahead, interview me. Go ahead.
Well, what sounds like dee, 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 dee?
There she was, just walking down the street, singing dee, 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 dee. Yeah, right. Dee, 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 dee. And a lot of songs like that.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah... 2024 hours to go. D D D D D D D.
Right. So you started this whole thing.
What do you mean I started?
This whole radio station.
I started it, but it was...
In my eyes, you did.
Yeah, back in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
Was a little building in East Orange, New Jersey.
Right.
On the outskirts of Uppsala College.
Was it the house on the corner where they built the time capsule?
The house on the corner, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it was just like a normal kind of nerdy college radio station at the time. And I started doing a freeform show because my hero was Bob Fass at BAI.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I did a show on Saturday nights, late Saturday into Sunday morning, called The Closet.
The Closet.
And that was like the first freeform show on FMU.
Why'd you call it The Closet?
Because of the old Fibber McGee and Molly radio show, where the running joke was Fibber McGee would open up the closet that he always jammed all his stuff into.
And everything would fall out.
And everything would fall out. Right. So at midnight on Saturday night, we would have the sound effect of a closet door creaking open and everything falling out. And what was falling out was all my records that I brought in.
Right.
Because the station didn't have any records.
So rather than put them back in the closet, you'd play them for the people.
I would play them. And then, and then gradually through the course of the night, I would put them metaphorically back in the closet.
Right, right. And then at the end of the show, everything would be packed away.
Packed away and I'd go home. Yeah.
And until you came back the next time and opened it up.
The next Saturday night, right.
So how did, so you were doing one freeform show. How did you, how did the station develop into, you know, a freeform
station?
Lots
of people started hanging out, like there are people hanging out here tonight. And a few months later, we just decided it was like 1968 and it was time to do it. And we convinced the college to let us do our first marathon to stay on the air for the summer, because normally the station went off the air during the summer.
Right.
So we raised $3,000, and that was enough to you know, pay whatever bills had to be paid for the summer.
I raised that much in like 3 minutes.
Yeah. It took us, it was Memorial Day weekend.
You would have it on Memorial Day
It was Memorial Day
for
weekend.
For 3 days?
In 68, yeah. Wow.
Did you come up with the idea of having the fundraiser?
Well, no. Every BAI did it all
Everyone
the time.
Was doing
you know,
it.
Any public radio station was doing it. But yeah.
So the college was glad to let you do what you wanted.
They didn't.
As long as
they didn't really care. Mm-hmm. And when they came back to the session in the fall, all of a sudden there was this station that people were paying attention to.
Right.
So they sort of liked that because the name was associated with it. But then the following year was 1969, when everything got really heavy in the world.
Right.
And the station got really heavy, too, and very political.
They didn't want to be associated
with that. And when they came back that fall, we got word that they were probably going to take us off the air, so we all quit instead.
Did everybody quit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the station was off the air for a couple of months, and then it came back on again.
And how did it come back on?
You would have to ask, I think, Irwin.
Right.
That I think Irwin takes over the history after that. I don't.
Right.
I don't,
but he wasn't there right that, at that.
I don't
point,
know. No,
he?
I think some kid came back on, and they were doing like generic radio, like progressive rock radio or something.
Right.
And then somehow I believe Irwin got involved, or some other. That was a long time ago.
Well, isn't progressive rock radio, if the DJ is playing what he wants, isn't that still freeform though?
No.
No.
No, because. Yeah. Woo! All right. Progressive rock was usually just a certain genre of music. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't allow for you know, playing jazz or old things or classical music.
So what would your typical playlist be like when you first started doing it at FMU?
Oh, it was all over the place.
Yeah.
It was everything from Lead Belly to the Mothers of Invention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was whatever records I owned at the time. So it was Phil Oakes and Bob Dylan.
Whatever you were listening to.
John Coltrane and Lord Buckley.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
So what did you do? You must have been crushed when the station...
It was emotionally, disastrous.
Uh-huh.
But we figured it was the end of the
60s.
Yeah. So it didn't matter.
Right.
You know, like the world was... The world was on the road to hell,
right.
And we had done our best to try and stop the bus from, you know, riding down that road, and it didn't work. So we all just kind of retreated.
Did you really take it that seriously?
Yeah.
That it was just the end.
Yeah.
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 And
we all sat down in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real communal thing, and we all talked about it, and then we voted, and everybody just sort of nodded yes.
Is that when the time capsule was buried, or was that buried by the later crew?
I think it was the later crew.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't us. Yeah, the time capsule was buried when the building came down, I guess.
Oh, maybe. I see. So where did you wind up then after that, BAI?
BAI for a little while.
Uh-huh.
And then ABC-FM, which became PLJ.
Right. Yeah, and that was freeform, right?
WABC-FM was freeform for about a year. Mm-hmm. And it was truly freeform. I mean, it was... guys were playing John Coltrane in the middle of the day. You know, Abby Hoffman used to come by, and John Lennon was living in New York at the time.
And they had no playlist at all?
There was no playlist.
So did they have a program director who tried to sell any kind of airtime?
They sold time, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why they changed the call letters was because they felt that we were getting gypped out of certain ratings because people would say they were listening to ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And that automatically got credited as ABC AM
right.
instead of ABC FM. So at some point they said, let's totally distinguish ourselves from the AM station. Let's come up with new call letters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Dave Herman, who was the evening guy there.
Right.
Who was aware of the fact that there was this old rhythm and blues song that coincidentally Zappa had recorded,
mm-hmm.
called WPLJ, White Port Lemon Juice. And he suggested to the vice president of ABC that that would be a cool set of call letters for the new station. And they said, yeah. So that's where PLJ comes from.
So what did you do then?
That lasted for like a year and a half. And then they started a playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they start a playlist at the radio station, that's when I leave.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that. I've always admired that about you, actually.
And so it's always just like one or two songs, but that's too many. One or two mm-hmm. songs. Even.
Wasn't there a point when before NEW?
You're remarkably lucid. This is great. Yeah. I mean, like, it's not.
I think
the fact,
more so than I normally am.
The fact, that you're doing, you know, this like marathon thing and you're breaking mm-hmm. the record and all that has totally ceased to exist. For right now, because
it's
like,
completely secondary.
Yeah, you're really interviewing me.
You know, normally when I'd be,
I'm happy.
Normally, if I were with you, I would probably the nerves would take over. You know, I'd try to ask questions and stuff like that.
No, but you are asking questions. And
but
it's
yeah,
good.
But I'm actually here. You know,
you're paying attention to me,
right.
Which I like, mm-hmm. and I'm paying attention to you, which you
which
like.
I like.
And it's like a mutual admiration thing here.
Yes.
Before you know, we'll be doing unnatural acts together, and it'll be nice.
Well, you would have taken advantage of me officially then because of my state.
You think so?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I'm not sure.
I would ask first. I would get your consent.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But I and my daughter's here. I can't.
I understand. But wasn't there a point with NEW before they really blew it? Wasn't there a point when they actually delved, besides your show, allowed DJs to delve into freeform again?
Yeah,
it seemed like there was hope?
There was the, NEW was of all the stations that came about in the 60s as progressive rock stations, NEW was the one that had the most freedom
mm-hmm.
And lasted the longest with that freedom because of Scott Muni. Scott Muni was the program director.
Right.
And Scott Muni... Scott Muni's idea of being program director was you hired good people to do shows and then you left them alone.
Which, in my opinion, is the exact definition of freeform, no
yeah,
matter what they
right,
do.
Right, right. So, it depended upon the personality as to how far afield they would go. You had Alison Steele playing mm-hmm. All these like electronica records from Germany and stuff before there was the word electronica, you know,
right.
playing Can and bands like that, you know. Weird bands from Italy,
mm-hmm.
you know, late at night and reading poetry. And then you'd have like Pete Fornatel playing the Byrds in Buffalo Springfield
right.
and all that kind of stuff. And so everybody was allowed to show their own personality, which is what, that's freeform radio.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Allowing the DJ to show their own personality and having a radio station where you never quite know what you're going to hear when you tune
at
it in.
At any given time,
which
sure.
is the an anathema of commercial radio now.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial radio, they want you to always know what you're going to hear. Oh, silence. How much silence can there be?
I think there can be, you know, since I'm in this somewhat trippy zone, I think there can be as much silence as we want.
Is that true? Do we have anybody with the rules? A minute, only a minute
you
of
think
silence?
So? I guess a minute of silence is just as is just as much a violation of a minute of somebody else speaking then, because I'm not speaking. So I guess...
You want to be quiet for 50 seconds?
Sure.
Okay. We're starting now.
But radio people always understand how much silence, you know, how short, long a period of time, 8 seconds is. Whereas a non-radio person, if you said 8 seconds, they think it's much greater.
5 more seconds. 5 seconds. And you have to
talk.
Okay.
There you go.
So what I really meant, Vin, though, I didn't mean so much the first time at NEW.
Yeah.
I actually meant the second time, the second NEW2, when you went back. Didn't they allow, I mean, I know you had freedom, but didn't they allow the other DJs to pick and choose, I thought, for a while? Not even a little bit?
No.
Oh, I had heard that they were toying with that a little bit.
They were toying with it, but by that point, the DJs were so out of the musical loop.
Mm-hmm.
That had you given them the freedom,
they wouldn't know what to
do. So they needed to have a plan.
Yeah, that is the danger. I've thought about that, actually. The danger is that, oh, look, it's the eye.
This is your eye?
Yeah, that would be
this
my
eye
under normal circumstances, I think.
Mm. We're united, man.
We are, aren't we?
Power to the eye.
We need a photograph of this. Is Richard Michelle still around? Yeah, it's the Scalzo brothers.
Yeah. No. This is the Jones brothers.
See, you say. Thank you.
This is your show, man.
It's a good weekend.
This is your Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Oop! I lost your eye. Put it back. That was very nice that somebody gave me a picture of your eye. To put in my glasses.
My eyes is somehow taking on a life of its own.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a helmet back here, and my eye is all over it. Let me show you.
Who started Santa?
I don't know. I guess somebody applauded. Oh. That must have been when we were silent. See, my eye is on this.
Oh, look at that. Oh, that's very nice.
Somebody, Ilmar, made me a hard hat so I wouldn't get hurt.
You
want to
hear? You want to hear a cool radio story?
Yeah, please. I love radio
stories. That has to do with eyes. Ask me.
Can you tell me a cool radio story?
About NEW.
About NEW,
okay.
In particular.
Yeah. There was this guy named John Kluge. He's a big multimillionaire.
Right.
Now he owns... What does John Kluge own now? Does anybody know? Transmedia or something like that? He owns some big wireless company now, but he owned Metro Media at the time.
Right.
And he had a collection of European advertising posters that was prized... But he had nowhere to put it. So when they moved their studios to a new location on 2nd Avenue around the corner from the Daily News, there were lots of long hallways. So he mounted all of his European advertising posters in the hallways of the radio station, right? And they were just like corny things, but they were prized by the advertising world.
They were special.
And they were
them,
worth
yeah.
money. And they were framed in glass and all that kind of stuff. So ask me what we did.
What did you do to them?
Well, there was a there was a band at the time. I think they were called Angel, maybe.
Angel. I seem to remember a band named Angel.
I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But they had a single, and the cover of the single 45 RPM. Ask me what a single was.
What was the single?
Oh, you know, it's FMU. You guys
like
know what singles
45
are.
RPM.
Yeah, 45
like,
RPM.
With the whole big hole in the
right.
Middle?
But it had the cover was just these two eyes, sort of like this.
Uh-huh.
It was a brown cover with two eyes peeking out.
Right.
So me and a couple of other guys, who I won't name because they would probably be embarrassed now, used to stay up every night because I was on from 10 to 2, right?
Uh-huh.
So at 2 o'clock, we'd get off the air. We called up Columbia Records, and we asked them for a box of the singles. And they thought, oh, this is great, man. It's like a hit on NEW. We weren't playing the record. The record was a piece of crap.
And they figured that was the big time.
But we wanted the eyes. And every night we would take down one of the posters, unscrew the screws of the frame, take the glass off, and put an eye, tape an eye to the back of the glass, right? And
right.
then put the thing back together again. So over the course of So over the course of a couple of months, gradually people began to notice that there were these eyes everywhere. But it took a while.
Right.
And finally it was Halloween, and we took a lot of drugs. And we put eyes everywhere, spooky eyes, we call them.
Mm-hmm.
We put spooky eyes everywhere. And the next day, Mel Karmazin, who was now the head of...
What was he doing back then?
He was the general manager of NEW. He's now the head of Infinity.
Yeah, now he owns
Viacom.
All.
He's the king of the CBS. World, right? Mel Karmazin had one of his flunkies call me up, and he said, we're going to fire the kid in the newsroom. Because we know he's responsible for the eyes.
They always blame the kid in the newsroom or the mailroom.
Yeah,
they do that almost everywhere. They've
so
done
now,
that
ask me what happened.
Worked. So what happened?
So I went into Mel. I went
and
into Mel's office that day, and I said, "Mel, I did it." And he goes, "You didn't do it." I said, "Look, the posters aren't damaged. We took them all apart, and the eyes are taped on the inside of the glass.
Right.
We didn't damage anything." So he was going to call the cops.
Really?
He was going to have the kid arrested.
you know?
So you had no choice. You had to come forward.
I said it was me, and he thought I was just protecting the kid. Mm-hmm. And to this day does not believe that I was responsible for Scooby.
What did he do to you?
He didn't do anything to me.
No?
But we had to put the eyes, we had to take all the eyes off, he said, by the next morning. By 8 o'clock the
so
next
you,
morning.
So you stayed at work.
We stayed at work, me and this guy Tom Herrera.
Right.
And Marty Martinez, mm-hmm. who was the kid who almost got fired.
The kid actually helped even though he didn't do it?
Yeah. No, he did it. He was part of it,
too. So you were protecting him.
No, but,
You're protecting him to this day.
It was my idea. And we did a lot more drugs that night because we had to undo in one night.
What you did.
What it had taken us 3 months to do.
So you had to do like 90 times as much drugs.
Right. In the meantime, this was like a big commercial radio station, mm-hmm. and Karmazin couldn't believe that we didn't have anything better to do. You know?
Right.
Like that we weren't out making money doing voiceovers and stuff like that. I don't know, like, why were, but it was just the spirit of what you're doing here right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's the spirit of just having
just
fun and being absurd.
For the sake of doing it.
Right. Being Dada, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put your eye back in my glasses and be Dada. I can't believe that Georgia and Ira are here. I just love them so much. Don't you love them?
Yes.
And it was so, like, neat and synchronistic that they walked in tonight.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen them in a long time.
It's the whole weekend's been like that for me. I've gotten phone calls. I got a message from a guy named Red at Harrison Taxi. I used to drive a cab at Harrison Taxi. I think it was my first job. And somebody said, you know, left me a message about Red at Harrison Cab. And I figured it must be the same guy. And it's been 25 years. And I guess he heard of me in one of the stories. And then I got a phone call last night from my radio mentor, Chris Scott, over at WHBI back in the old days, where I leased time as a 16-year-old.
Did you really at HBI?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And this guy, Chris Scott, was a DJ engineer there, and he took me under his wings because I guess he could tell that I had the interest, you know, that I really wanted to do it. So he taught me about radio.
And who did you get to advertise on the show? How did you pay for the time?
I broke out the Yellow Pages, and I called every place. That I just called up places. I would ask like waitresses, that would answer the phone.
You were like the Uncle Floyd of HBI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and I would try to sell.
Where's Uncle Floyd? Why hasn't he come by this
week? I have his phone number on. I have his phone number around here someplace, and he. I also meant to call. I didn't get a lot of pre-production done because I was so busy with planning the event and stuff like that.
You called me weeks ago.
I did.
And I didn't call you back.
Yeah, I thought you didn't like me.
No. I just never call anybody.
I always
back.
Think people don't like me.
And then on Friday morning, I saw the note. It was still like, sitting right there on my desk.
And you remembered.
And I went, oh, it's this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I called you, and it was your Court TV thing, and I just got your answering machine.
I got that message on my way to the studios the morning of the broadcast.
But I'm so glad that I found it,
thrilled.
And I did it. And then I saw the Star Ledger, and then I saw all this other stuff. And I'm so happy for you.
I was on the Today Show on Friday.
We're actually really on the...
Yeah.
They had cameras here, and they interviewed you.
They did a live shot, yeah.
Yeah, like a person-to-person kind of thing?
Yeah, Katie Couric interviewed me. And I tried to be... seize the moment and to, you know, be comfortable and relaxed and confident. And, so I chatted with her a lot. And when she tried to go break away from me and said thank you, I mean, the whole idea was they were coming back tomorrow. So they were setting up the story on Friday to come back on Monday. There we are there.
Oh, wow. Look at you all dressed up.
Yeah.
Looking very spiffy.
That's how I
man.
Started the show.
Looking
and
very
look
spiffy.
At me now.
They can see that.
And
all dressed up in, like, velvet and stuff and with a tie and...
She tries to break away, and
this is her, Katie.
Yeah, and I just figured, you know, there's a guy whose job it is to press the mute button and cut me off when my time's over. So I just kept talking to her, and you know, she's laughing and everything, and I'm telling her, you know, she said, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "So I can be on the Today Show with you, Katie." And you know, it's quite honest, really.
Was she nice to you, or did she?
She seemed really
condescend?
Nice. She was really nice, actually, and she laughed. But a bunch of friends of mine said, "I couldn't believe you were flirting with Katie." And I didn't think I was. And actually, I was kind of like, I'm trying to figure out why people thought I was flirting with her.
Maybe and it was just like the tone of your voice or something.
I guess. Yeah. You know, I was just trying to seize the moment
and
take advantage of the opportunity.
Sounds like flirting to me.
So now all weekend I've been talking, whenever I go off into a crazy zone, from lack of sleep. I've been talking about Katie and about how, you know, she's waiting for me at the end of the, she's the light at the end of the tunnel.
What were you saying? You think so? Oh, because she's going to come back on Monday morning?
Well, she's going to send they're going to send her crew back, and they'll talk to me again tomorrow morning.
You were talking earlier about something that's bothering the back of your
I don't know if there's a tooth that's jabbing into the tongue or if there's a swelling or something. But the tongue doesn't seem to work properly without a little bit of pain on the right side. So I feel like I'm slurring my speech.
No, you're not. It sounds okay.
It feels as such. And I hate speech slurring.
Shall we call it a dentist in?
Nah. Are you kidding?
Didn't there used to be a dentist in this building?
Yeah. No, there was a chiropractor. I could have used them, too. Yeah. I'll tell you. But they're not real doctors, you know. Yeah.
Chiropractors? Don't tell that to a chiropractor.
Well, they don't go to like 2 years of school or something like that. Doctors, you know, they have to know how to do everything.
But chiropractors make you feel good, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. I never saw one, though. Can you imagine being a surgeon? Why would anybody, you know, can you imagine like having the courage to cut somebody open and do that kind of thing?
No.
And what kind of person it must take to do that? And you have to have people to do that. Otherwise, you die.
I wouldn't want to be fooling around inside somebody's
But can you imagine the nerve that must take? I mean, we just sign on and we broadcast, and you know it is as it is. Yeah, and if we have a bad show, we're really mad at ourselves
nobody's life is at stake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it feels that way sometimes.
But you know what? Sometimes you could save a life on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I'd imagine so.
And I don't even mean like somebody calling up and saying I'm going to commit suicide.
Just touch somebody in the right way.
Yeah. If you touch somebody in the right way who's feeling bummed out, maybe you could turn them around.
Yeah.
And you never even know about it.
Well, yeah, you never know. That's the beauty of it, and it's the curse of it also. You don't really know if you're touching them.
You're touching them this weekend. You're inspiring people this weekend.
That's what they say. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things I've always loved about listening to you is I always feel like you're talking just to me.
I am.
It seems that way.
No, I am. I always consider that there's only one person listening.
Mm-hmm. It really comes across that way,
That's from the old FMU experience when there was, in fact, only one person listening. So that's how I started, and that's how I'm going to end.
I thought it was the old style of radio, you know, you know that old style of radio where they're talking to you and they're just going on and on and telling a story, and then they bridge into a commercial without your ever knowing it, you know, by just talking their way into it, and before you know it, they're selling you a product.
Yep.
I love that, you know, and I know it's a commercial, but that's an art.
Very special talent, that is, yep.
Yeah, and not that I'd want to, you know, necessarily do a commercial, but I'd love to have that talent. And that's, you know, a great way of communicating.
How long have you been doing this show, the Sunday show?
Sunday. Well, I was on a different time slot, but I started at FMU a week. In a week, it'll be 15 years.
15 years?
Yeah. And when I first started, I would meet people like Irwin who were here for 10 years, and all I wanted to do, like I thought to myself, I want to be around here as long as they are. They were. That was like my dream, you know, to be around the station that long.
Has Irwin been by for this weekend?
I haven't seen him.
No, he hasn't come by.
I've seen
Ken has been here a lot. Right?
Oh, Ken's like my handler. You know, he feeds me. I turn around, you know, and he sticks a fork in my mouth with meat on it.
Is Ken on a sabbatical this summer?
He's on sabbatical, but he's been working like so hard on this that it's not really a sabbatical. You know, Ken.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's on sabbatical, but he has this project to do, and he's going to do it.
Well,
and it's like I'm his kid. It's amazing.
He built this place, man.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. Well,
it's
he built
remarkable.
This, he built this weekend, really.
He,
you know.
He built this city on rock and roll.
I've always hated that song.
Yeah, me too.
I really do.
All right, Alone Again, Naturally, Gilbert O'Sullivan.
I was talking about that tonight, actually.
I heard it before. Yeah. It's a horrible song. Why
I like it.
Cause it's so,
I grew up on the pop thing, the AM radio, where they would play the schmaltzy, you know, they'd mix the schmaltzy music in with the
rock. Do we have it here, do you think?
Yeah, we do.
Have we played it yet, Alone Again,
Naturally? No, we haven't. It's on the Have a Nice Day series,
We should play it.
I'd like to play it for you.
Da, 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 da.
You know, I love the lyrics. It's poetry.
Da, 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 da.
You know, and maybe it's because I'm the son of a single mommy and stuff.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
Want to talk to little Steven? Yeah.
Little
is
Steven?
He on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That'll
be
fun.
Let's get little Steven on the phone.
See, now I knew how to get to little Steven, but I didn't want to ask little Steven how to get to Bruce because I just felt that's disrespectful.
It's imposing.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because he's, you know, such a major talent in his own right, and I'm sure he hears that all the time because, you know, people just feel so strongly about Bruce. So I
You Sopranos?
Rightfully so. Love The Sopranos. Fan? Isn't it great?
Yeah.
If The Sopranos were on tonight, actually, my plan was to have a VCR here and then have somebody walk in at 11:05 with the tape so I could watch it here. But it ended early. What did you think of it this season?
I liked it
yeah?
for the most part this season, but I haven't seen the last show yet.
Uh-huh.
I've just had the last one described to me.
Mm-hmm. So you have some videotapes for you?
Say that again?
So someone videotapes it for you? You don't have HBO?
No, I have HBO.
Oh, you just, didn't have time.
Didn't have time to see the last episode.
Yeah.
But I'll see it sometime.
Yeah, I love the show, actually. I love the characters. But,
Little Steven shamed me into subscribing to
I heard HBO. You telling that story, yeah.
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 He goes, Vinny! because he's just like the character
yeah,
he plays.
Yeah, he's brilliant at that character.
What? $35? Spring for the $35. The effing $35. Come on.
He is just like that character. Yeah. He was emceeing the Joey Ramone tribute, the memorial at the Hammerstein, and it was like watching Silvio Dante the way he paraded on the stage. Except the dress, the outfit obviously was a lot.
He's wearing his babushka,
suaver.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but he was very rock and roll. You know.
See, I think that's why.
Very classy.
There's somebody honking for you.
Maybe it's Bruce. They had a big rally in the parking lot today. It's amazing.
I am exhausted. How can you do this?
Because this is like the only time I'm ever going to get to do it. When are you and I going to be sitting here like this again?
This is true. But you can invite me anytime now, because now I don't have to sleep on Sundays. I don't have to sleep.
That's true. That's true.
Because I'm working on Saturdays now.
But somehow it's different today.
I first started listening to you because I would take
power walks.
I would take power walks.
Right.
Yeah, back I was thinner than I am now, and I was a little more into being healthy and stuff. And I'd have you guys on
the Walkman.
The Walkman.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hear you play stuff from like Man of La Mancha,
right?
And segue it into some disco record, and I would go, man, this guy's cool.
Yeah, Man of La Mancha has become a theme of the show.
You know, actually, you're one of if I may be so bold as to say this. You and maybe there's another person in this room, Mr. O'Toole over there, and Ken, but even sometimes Ken I wonder about, are the only guys who really truly understand like that freeform doesn't really mean playing like an hour of totally esoteric Bulgarian dance music. That's not really what freeform is. Freeform is like playing some Bulgarian esoteric dance music,
right,
but mixing it in with Man of La Mancha and Manfred Mann.
Right. That's what freeform is to me. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's, it's not that far from what ABC AM was, although it was programmed. I mean, that's the kind of song selection you would have heard in the 60s.
Yeah, because it was truly based on the charts.
On the charts,
and the charts were very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Paola guys were paying them to play.
Right.
So, but that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something? You have to ID the station?
No, not at all.
You're going to play Gilbert O'Sullivan?
Yeah, let's play Gilbert O'Sullivan. And remember, it was your idea this time.
Yeah.
You know, it's the poetry of the song. It's like...
All right, well, let's listen and we'll see.
Wait a little while from now.
All right.
I'm not Track feeling
nine.
Any less.
Nine?
Yeah. Promise myself to meet myself and visit a nearby
I can understand. Alone again, naturally.
You know, it's the poetry of the song. And the plush production, I guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it differently.
All right, I will. I'll listen to it with different ears.
This is Gilbert O'Sullivan, Alone Again Naturally.
Nice.
I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. And climbing to the top, will throw myself up in an effort to make clear to whoever what it's like when you're shattered, left standing in the lurch at a church where people were saying, "My God, that's tough." She stood him up. No point in us remaining. We may as well go on. I did on my own, alone again, naturally. To think that only yesterday I was cheerful, bright and gay, looking forward to what wouldn't do, the role I was about to play. But as if to knock me down, reality came around, and without so much as a mere touch, cut
me into little pieces, leaving me town. Talk about God in his mercy, if he really does exist, why did he desert me in my hour of need? I truly am indeed alone again. It seems to me that there are more hearts broken in.
This is not really happening, right? This is the hallucination part of the weekend. This is not, you're lost now. You're gone.
Can't fool me, Ben.
Yeah.
I remember the night that my father died. Never wishing to dry the tears.
Not to get
Mother, God bless her soul, 65 years old.
Not to get too personal, but right. is this part of your autobiography? Did your dad pass away?
Yeah. But I had two dads, really. You know, I had a dad by name who died when I was very young, and then years later I found about a real father who died in an adulthood.
Both your dads died?
Yeah.
No wonder you love this song.
Yeah. But I loved it before the second dad.
I understand now.
Oh man, maybe you're gonna be the one that makes me cry. I've been thinking that eventually I'm gonna cry. I was thinking eventually I'm gonna cry because it's so emotional, the whole broadcast. And I'm here we go.
My mother, God rest her soul, couldn't understand why the only man she had ever loved had been taken, leaving her to start with a heart so badly broken, despite from me, no words were ever spoken. When she passed away, I cried and cried all day, alone again. Naturally,
don't cry.
Alone again.
Not yet. No. Wait till tomorrow.
I won't cry tomorrow. I'll be so happy.
After you break the record, you'll cry tears of joy.
You think so?
Yeah. Tears of joy.
We'll see what happens.
Tears of joy. Everybody will be here. People will be applauding you and stuff, kissing you, hugging you, throwing arms around you.
Yeah, but it'll be a different sort of emotion.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be a happier emotion than a sad emotion?
Yeah, but there's something about the struggle. You know, that's why I love the Man of La Mancha, the struggle. There's something about that.
Yeah.
That really, really gets me. I don't know what it is. I guess we can share a microphone.
We could share a microphone. Right. And we could get really close.
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid to share microphones.
Why is that?
I guess they're not comfortable with their sexuality or something.
Or no, I don't mind it. It's like the greatest thing in the world. Ira and Georgia know this. When rock singers are performing, they sing into the same mic.
That is the coolest
thing.
Isn't that
the coolest thing, to sing into the same mic? Yeah.
Whenever X-Ray and I try that, X-Ray seems to shy away, and I try to tell him, like, think like Keith and Mick, you know?
No, I think X-Ray has trouble with his sexuality. I do think that that's a problem.
I can't comment on that.
Yeah,
really.
No. All right.
It wouldn't be right.
Okay. Yeah. We're getting into the silence thing again.
Yeah, the silence. Well, yeah. You know, it was I guess it was the last line.
You're smoking in here, man.
Yeah, do you mind?
No, I don't mind.
I don't want to bother.
No, it smells good.
Bother you. You like the smell of smoke?
I like the smell of smoke. I can't smoke myself.
Did you ever smoke?
I smoked a pipe, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I smoked a pipe for many years.
Wow.
Because when I was a kid, I was like 16, 17 years old, and I wanted to be a poet. And
right.
I thought that that's what poets did.
Right.
Poets smoked pipes.
Isn't it funny how when you're a kid, you think about, like, you know, it's what the heroes do.
It's the trappings.
Yeah.
Not what they actually really do.
Yeah.
Like, I went away to the to be a brother, a Marist brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I wanted to be a Marist brother was because they wore these cool cassocks, and they had these.
What's a cassock?
A cassock is that long, kind of it's like a robe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a long shirt that goes all the way down to the ground, and they have a cincture, which is a belt, like a rope belt,
right,
that goes around their waist.
It sounds very dashing.
And the Marist brothers at Marist High in Bayonne, where I went to school, would twirl the cincture as they were walking around like the lunchroom. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, and that's why I wanted to be a Marist brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no vocation.
I didn't really believe in God. I wasn't going to save the world, nothing. I just wanted to get a cool uniform like that and twirl the cincture.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking too much.
No. That didn't mean you were talking too much. It meant that I wasn't interjecting
enough.
Can we read the email together? We'll each read one, maybe?
I'll help you.
Okay. That sounds good. Sometimes they're filled with requests, and it's not...
You have to read the bulk of them, though.
Okay.
Go ahead,
I go first? Okay. Yeah. Jones, as the big moment approaches, the question is presented of what this all means and what we should draw from it. The answer may seem corny, but it is more than a mere stunt. It is about what all of us have in common, our love for radio, and more specifically, our love for FMU. If it wasn't for that, you wouldn't be doing this, and we all wouldn't be listening. You've brought many of us together in a way that we haven't been in a while, whether or not that is what you intended to do.
This is the part where you can cry.
Nah, not yet.
No?
This one doesn't make me cry yet.
Yeah.
You are thanked for it all, personally and on behalf of the Oracle board, Pat Collins.
Oh, Pat Collins from the board. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I know Pat. Jones, this is great theater, and we are rooting for you. You have clearly scripted this event and your soundtrack exceptionally well, but it would be even better as a hoax.
You know something?
Keep it up, Matt.
I thought about hoaxing it. Now, when I down at myself, I'm putting myself out in public by saying I'm going to do this, and when I down at myself, there were two things I thought of. You know, how do I hoax this and get away with it now that I've done it? How do I make it seem like I didn't mean it? And when we approached it, we had heard that the record was beat and taken. You know, there was a new record that was being considered that was many more hours, and I didn't know if I could do it. And one of the things I thought of doing is you get to the final minute when you're about to break the record and the press is watching and everything, and this, I would truly be remembered for this. And they all came there, and when it was 1 minute to go, when everyone knew you could stay, and you obviously had the energy to stay, if you said, you know something, I really don't need this.
Nah, screw it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's screw it. And you throw the headphones down and you walk out.
Yeah.
And the other was if I got to hour 43 and I really couldn't do it, my friend told me to grab my heart and throw myself to the ground and lay there. He told me a story about a magician who used to drive a car blindfolded, and he used his own blindfold, obviously. And one day he was on camera, and they said, use this blindfold. And they gave him, you know, a real blindfold, so he couldn't do the trick. And the cameras were on the guy, so the guy grabbed his heart and threw himself to the ground.
That's right.
It worked,
yeah.
Apparently. But I thought about doing that. Glenn, it was great to participate in the rally today, and even greater to see you looking better than ever and glowing with confidence. Congratulations in advance. We never doubted you. Love, 99.
Mount Hope is for Jonesy. Now and for as long as you keep it going. No looking back. Take it to the limit, Jonesy, and then come to Mount Hope for some R&R. Jones will rock your bones with the right tones, keeping it going. Bring it on home. Love you, Mount Hopers.
Mr. Jones, from the moment I listened to your New Year's Eve 2000 archival broadcast a few weeks back, I've been a disciple. Francis Albert Sinatra, The Buggles, Kingston Trio, and Neil Young among a cast of thousands breaking bread together. Yes, Virginia, there is a rock and roll and rhythm and blue Santa Claus, and his name is Glenn Jones. Thank you and your fellow compadres at the mighty WFMU as well for making me a believer in the magic of radio again. And as you get closer to the magic hour, I leave you with some words of wisdom from Sir Paul McCartney. The movement you need is on your shoulder. Godspeed, Jeffrey.
Oh, look where that's from.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
Listening on the web. Total out-of-body experience. The radio has not gone off in our house since you began your quest. While we sleep, you've entered our dreams. Dig that. Awake, we're grooving to the sounds. Our two dogs, Biff and Gumby, have not stopped dancing. Just keep going. It's a beautiful thing. Rawway loves you. Thanks, Betsy and John, Biff and Gumby. Peace. You're in your dreams.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hello, my hero. It was an honor and a real feeling of camaraderie in the parking lot today. It amazes me of how you've turned this from a stunt into a real slice of life Americana importance. I'm sorry I didn't catch a shirt with my testicle.com sign, but I'm glad that little kid got the cash. X-ray was great today. The tunes have gone from good to great to fantastic, a true disc jockey, experimental. Hearing some of my favorite songs by my favorite bands, Echo and the Bunnymen, The Clash, The Replacements, just proves to me how WFMU reigns supreme as a free-form radio station. by bringing worldwide attention to your mission. You've done a service, true service, to WFMU, from the station to the crew to the volunteers, the FMU family, the USA, and beyond. The world is enamored by your effort, your commitment and determination, striving alive, baby. You know, I've hardly had any sleep listening to you 24/7 and watching you get back rubs and sponge baths. Classic webcam camage. Thanks for hanging in there, Jonesy. As a loyal FMU listener, I'm so proud of you. Hey, please show the web folks my testicle.com sign and play Hairball or Puke by Bada Bang. Ha ha. Love you, man.
How come you got all the long ones? And we just divided.
You know, it's a coincidence. It's a coincidence, but it's good it worked out that way because of the rule. Right?
You have to talk longer than me.
Yeah.
You're still broadcasting. We're still listening. Hang in there, Glenn, Bob, and Carol in Mars. There you go.
Glenn, Mo, whomever is reading this, Glenn Jones must mention that that 1 a.m. on Channel 56, the cable access TV show F-Sharp will be showing footage from the Joey Ramone birthday bash. Glenn Jones, Vince Scalzo, I spoke at Joey Ramone's funeral, so I think this will be of interest to him as well. Joey, optional plug. The F-Sharp TV show is produced by New Jersey resident Beth Lash. That's from Holmstrom, the guy who does Punk Magazine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, Jonesy. We're still listening. You keep going. God Save Jonesy. That was a Kink song, wasn't it?
God Save Jonesy?
God Save Jonesy. Village Green and Society. God Save Village Green, Jonesy, and Society. Something like that. Ira knows about that.
Good job so far. I'm looking forward to the delirium that's sure to come. If you're looking for a good jump start, play Debaser by the Pixies. That song always gets me up and jumping.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
Hi, Glenn. Alan Freed once said, you can't stop rock and roll. And with each passing hour, it becomes more apparent that you also can't stop Glenn Jones. I am 50 years old. I am a 50-year-old lifelong radio junkie who used to fall asleep at night as a child listening to stations like WKBW, WOWO, and WWVA. Your accomplishment these past 61 hours is the most incredible radio achievement that I have ever been witness to. I honestly do not know how you are not only staying coherent, but likewise maintaining your sense of humor. The IBJ is not worthy to have you as its exalted leader. In this day of internet broadcasting via the World Wide Web, I hope that someone takes the time to tell that guy who does the morning show with Robin Quivers, Howard something or other, that there is indeed a new king of all media. All hail Glenn Jones. Congratulations, my friend Charlie in Bullville, New York.
Jonesy. Yes.
Santa started.
I am so calm. Yeah, that's funny, right? The people applaud it and Santa started. I am so confident you're going to surpass the record. In fact, I'm broiling trout and sauteing Italian-style broccoli for your victory lunch tomorrow. God, I hope you like this stuff. But Ken said no carbohydrates. It's really good, though. Also, I had to say that as a recovering Catholic, and after hearing the interview last night and the phone conversation this afternoon, I'm now a fan of Knock'em. See you tomorrow, Jonesy. I will sleep with the radio on tonight again and cheer you on in my dreams. Say hi to Vin. Love, Maggie from Harriman. Hi, Vin from Maggie.
Hi back to Maggie. That's cool. Will you Knock'em was on the show?
Knock'em dropped in here on yesterday around 11 o'clock or something like
JM
that.
JM and the AM. Knock'em.
Yeah, yeah. And we conducted an interview. And
cool.
It was a lot of fun. Would you please read one, please?
Hey, Jones. I have been listening in admiration of your laxababble, extended wit, and delectable seasoned selections. However, while you challenge the world record and pay homage to your sweet mother, you have failed to sugarcoat your playlist with the queens of rock and roll. What's up, Jones? What about Aretha? Joan Jett? Don't tell me you have never drooled over the Supremes. I'm a girl. I rock to Madonna and the Go-Go's, man. Maybe I missed something, but I've not heard a single heroine, not even a heroine on heroin. So, send all of us hookers some love, Jones. Just a suggestion. Good luck with the stunt. Thank you very much for your consideration. Mary Jennifer lying on the bed waiting, and she's got a...
Oh, look, a little pretty picture.
Look, a little pretty picture.
A little sexy picture.
An email picture.
We're getting a lot of those, like pornographic ones as well. Show it to the web people.
You know, I hate to do this, but I think my daughter and her friend disappeared. I better go find them, or
they're probably living in a tent in the yard.
Are they in there? Are they in the library? Okay. Are they okay? All right. Cool.
Jesus Christ, you and Vin are on at the same time, and I can hardly tell your voices apart. That must mean we're doing well.
I guess, man. So, Vin, tell me. When you went to NEW the second time,
right?
Were you uptight because you were the only person who had the freedom to play all the records and everybody else was playing the playlist?
No, I felt superior because they came back to me. They brought me back.
Right.
And joke's on them. They needed me in the end.
Well, you know, I grew up listening to you,
mm-hmm.
and you're a big hero of mine, and I'm delighted that you came here tonight to help me. You know, beat the record.
What?
It's really great.
I think it's really great what you're doing. I mean, you're really touching people and showing them what radio can be.
Thank you, Vin.
No problem, Glenn.
Let's play.
I'm glad to be here.
I think that the hooker that just wrote in, I think she's right. I think we should play a girl record, you know, by a girl.
You know, it's funny. I'll play a girl record, but the funny thing is I never think to play girl records.
Why?
Because music to me.
Why, Vin?
No,
wait, we lost it. There.
Yeah.
Now you're Glenn again.
No, I'm Glenn again.
All right, and I'm Vin. Okay.
Music to you is
male?
The lyrics are always very important to me, and somehow a male's lyrics is something I can relate to more. I'm a big lyric man.
Yeah, and you never related to a Joni Mitchell lyric or...
There are certain ones that I like. I love some Carole King songs and, of course, Motown is Motown, whether it's the Supremes or one of the male groups.
Yeah. But most of the Motown songs were written by guys anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Written by the same guys. But there's something about the lyric to me. And for some reason, I can't relate to it the same way.
Yeah.
When a woman is singing it, then it can as a when a man is, and if that's wrong, it's wrong.
No, that's the way you. The way I am. Music is totally subjective.
Yes,
it's totally.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So all right. So if you heard like Indigo Girls,
right,
singing Mark Knopfler's Romeo and Juliet,
mm-hmm.
would you relate to it differently? You're hearing the same lyrics.
Yes.
As Dire Straits would
yes,
sing the song,
I would.
But if you heard, it's, so it's hearing the female voices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, can we play some anyhow?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what should we play?
I don't know. Maybe should I go in the library and find some?
Yeah, why don't you pick a few things?
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay. Here's
want to do that now?
Here's your emails.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go.
I'm really enjoying the show. Good music, cool guests. Good luck in reaching your goal. Mike, thanks. Jonesy. The Columbia LP he's talking about is Angel City's Darkroom LP. Hey, Vin, the LP you were talking about apparently is Angel City's Darkroom. Is that it?
Yeah. Angel City is the name of the band.
Is that it? Is that the one?
That's it.
There you
Angel
go.
City, right.
Great thing about radio, there's always an answer.
Did you play these yet?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Right,
if we did, not in a while.
You got girls right here. You got Deborah Harry.
Yeah, something about Deborah Harry I liked. Yeah.
Yeah, how about ABBA?
ABBA I like.
Yeah,
but they're half man, half woman.
That's true. All right, I'll find you.
You go find me some real women.
A full.
You go
real
in there
woman.
And don't come
I'll
back to you because you
I'll
have
get
a woman.
You a real woman.
Okay.
All right.
Vince Gauss is going to go get us a woman, and I guess I'll play a song since this is the DJ marathon while we wait. Arlo Guthrie, and the City of New Orleans.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name and freight yards full.
old of old black men and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Card games with the old man in the club car. Penny a point, ain't no one keeping score. Pass the paper bag that holds the bottle. And feel the wheels rumbling neath the floor. And the sons of Pullman porters and the sons of engineers write their father's magic carpets made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep rocking to the gentle beat. And the rhythm of the rails is all they feel. Good morning, city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Nighttime on the city of New Orleans. Changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. Halfway home, we'll be there by morning. Through the Mississippi darkness, rolling down to the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade into a bad dream. And the steel rail still ain't heard the news. The conductor sings his songs again. Passengers will please refrain. This train got the disappearing railroad blues. Good night, America, how are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone.
Arlo Guthrie and the City of New Orleans.
Why did you play that song?
Oh, great.
Wow.
Would you like to talk to Chuck Wepner? Sure. You're from Bayonne.
That's right.
Hello. What?
Hello.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Glenn Jones here, WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and we have Chuck Wepner on the phone here. I'm sorry? Yes, I did announce Arlo Guthrie, City of New Orleans, as our last track. So let me pick up the phone. We have Chuck Wepner on the phone with us. Chuck, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Glenn.
Chuck, thank you for calling in. I'm sorry that we had difficulty touching base.
Yeah, I guess you got my messages. I was trying for the last couple of days.
Yeah, we have been so busy here. I don't know if you realize we're doing the we're trying to break the Guinness record.
I know what you're doing. That's great.
And we don't always hear the phone ring, unfortunately.
Right.
So I do apologize for that in advance, and I'm glad that you that you we connected.
Tell all your listeners who Chuck is.
Chuck Wepner was the inspiration for Rocky, for starters, for five movies that Sylvester Stallone made. And Chuck Wepner is a professional boxer. Chuck
former NABA heavyweight champion.
You were the American champion, weren't you, as well? You
North American and National America's heavyweight champion, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were the Bayonne Brawler. That was your nickname.
Bayonne Bleeder. Bayonne Brawler, Bayonne Bleeder. You know, up to 339 stitches in the eyes.
Oh,
that's what they nicknamed me.
Hey, Chuck, this is Vince Skelsa. I grew up in Bayonne. And so I'm curious as to where you lived in Bayonne. What neighborhood did you come from?
I lived all over. Yeah. I moved to Bayonne when I was a year old. My mother was pregnant with my brother. She came to New York. My mother and father split up. And we moved to 28th Street with my grandmother. She was a superintendent of an apartment on 28th. After that, I lived on 37th Street and 32nd Street. And I bought a condo later on down on 1st Street. And now I live in a condo on 25th Street down by Veterans Stadium.
You still live in Bayonne?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's 62 cool. That's
62
great.
62 years old. I've been here 61.
And how Jersey can you get in that we have myself from Kearney and we have two gentlemen from Bayonne, originally from Bayonne, are with us here.
No kidding.
And, what do you think of, how do you feel about Chuck Wepner's career, Vin?
I know Chuck only as a legend. Mm-hmm. You know, like we were talking before about sports, that I wasn't really very much into sports. But I know Chuck as a legendary boxer. And a guy who, didn't you used to go on the Uncle Floyd show a lot, Chuck?
Yeah, I was on Uncle Floyd. He's great. What a great comedian. Matter of fact, I'm doing a thing with him the 29th of this month with Falou Duva.
With who?
The 29th of next month, I'm sorry. 29th of next month for Louis Duva, they're roasting him.
Uh-huh.
Myself and Uncle Floyd are going to be doing the roasting.
You know, years ago, my sister got me an autograph from you, and it was an 8x10 photograph, and you wrote on it, "The next heavyweight champion of the world." And and that meant a lot to me.
And we came close.
We
got our shot. We went 15 with him. We had him down and all, but he was still a little too good for me. Ali was a great fighter then.
You knocked down Muhammad Ali.
Yep, in the ninth round.
Not a lot of people have done that.
The only man to have him down as champion of the world in a championship fight.
And you weren't supposed to do that.
No, Frazier and Cooper had him down.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the last guy to have him down. The poor guy is... I do a few appearances with him a year, and he's in terrible shape. He's a great man, and it breaks my heart. But the Parkinson's is really eating him up.
Are you friends with Muhammad Ali?
Oh yeah, very dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
I was with him a month and a half ago. Matter of fact, we had a reunion with Triumph Sports out at the Garden State Expo in Edison,
mm-hmm.
and about 8 or 10 of the guys that he fought. We're at the reunion. It was an autograph signing thing with some football players and boxers and everything, and we all got together. I see him about twice, sometimes three times a year.
I always thought I was never much of a fighter, you know. I was more or less a sissy kid. That's why I idolized guys like you. But I always was fascinated by the fact that two guys can get in the ring and try to knock each other
the
silly.
The stuff is out of each other and then make friends afterwards.
Yeah, and then there's this respect at the end.
It's just like any other competition. You know, mm-hmm. I played a lot of basketball and baseball and some football. You know, you're out there trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's over, hey, you respect the other guy, your opponent, because, you know how hard he's trying, just like you are.
Right. And see, that's just something I could never understand. I think I can now as an adult because, the respect is there. And
not everybody wants to be a fighter. Some guys excel in one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
You're good on radio. You're going for a world record here. I hope you make it. What is the world record? Three days?
Just about 3 days. 73 hours and 33 minutes.
And so you'll beat that easy.
Yeah, I mean tomorrow morning at 10:33, I beat that.
No kidding.
So, I feel strong. So there's no way I'm not going to beat it.
Now you've been up all this time.
I've been up since Friday morning about 6:30, and I've been on the air since 9 a.m.
Unbelievable.
You've been in Atlantic City this weekend, right?
Yeah, we came down Friday, and I got my ass kicked down here worse than I did in the ring.
Oh, yeah, the casinos?
Yeah. We didn't have a good weekend. The crap tables were cold. The blackjack tables were cold, but we had a good time. Mm-hmm. We saw the couple of shows, and they treat me very, very well down there at the Tropicana. Tropicana is a great hotel, and you know, my host Pete Doomer and John Conklin, and you know, the whole hotel staff, they're great people and take very good care of me.
So you're making appearances while you're there?
Well, more or less. Mm-hmm. I sign a lot of autographs, and I have these business cards I give out, and I go here. I went to a couple parties, and they introduced me, and it was nice. You know, they caught me for everything, and I could probably come down here without even playing if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I like to gamble. My wife does too, and
it's fun.
So I brought down six other people with me.
Wow.
And they took care of them too.
That's great. Yeah, gambling is fine. I'm a horse man myself. I like the horses.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine right here that was my friend Petey Vanciello was at mm-hmm. in there betting some of the horses all day at
right.
the track. So they like the. I don't know anything about the horses. I bet a horse one time. It was it went off at 10-1, and it came in quarter after 3.
You know. When I was a kid, besides boxing, I also was a huge fan of professional wrestling. And I'll never forget when you started showing up on the wrestling shows, and I believe you had...
Andre the Giant.
Yeah, but before that, didn't you and Gorilla Monsoon push each other around?
Yeah, we pushed each other around a couple of times. And, I was a friend of Vince McMahon Sr., the old man, uh-huh. you know. And that was before wrestling was really like 100% show business, you know. It was...
Right.
It was more like wrestling. And now, Junior did very well for wrestling. You know, Vince McMahon Jr., I know him too. And he's a smart guy. He made a lot of money. I mean, mm-hmm. he made billions for them. They all made a lot of money. And, you know, hey, those guys are great athletes too, believe me. A lot of it's show business, but I'll tell you something. You can't get in there and do the stuff they do without being in great shape and being a real athlete.
Oh, they're absolutely athletes. So what was it like to fight Andre the Giant?
It was fun.
It was fun.
I fought him at Shea Stadium.
Yeah. It was the undercard to Ali and Inoki.
Yeah, Ali and Inoki, and I fought him there. He threw me out of the ring, and I didn't make it back in by 10. I got disqualified. Mm-hmm. But then I went over to Japan a little while later, and I fought Inoki over there.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, and he was supposed to fight Andre. But that.